This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
I am the freak, I am the fag, I am the weirdo one you couldn't stand. I am the geek, I am the nerd, you beat me up when I was 10. So what? I play with dolls, I play with dolls. So what? I play with dolls, I play with dolls. So what? I play with dolls, I play with dolls. So what? I play with dolls, I play with dolls. I play with dolls.
So much better to play with dolls rather than your cornhole bag.
I agree.
You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
They don't usually have beans in those bags, do they?
No. I don't know what's in them.
I think, didn't you say it was corn kernels,
but let's open up a sack.
Don't let it get too close to a heat source, it might pop. Okay.
Trying to see. Remember, everyone, cornhole is safe for everyone. Oh my God, there's a virtual cornhole match.
Oh my word.
It's South just
set
right.
Set up like horseshoes.
If someone out there is calling us on the
morning KPFT.
If the powers that be are trying to call us, the red line's not working. All right. The music we heard before after the fits of laughter and before returning, last up there was Kevin Cahoon and the Ghetto Cowboy with Doll. And before that was Jay Arsenault, Take It From the Ashes. Haven't got a hold of his new album. That's just a single from the new album.
Is a new album out?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
His second album. Well, it's a second album, but in a way it's his first album.
Because his first album was actually under his other name.
Other name.
Brings out a whole new meaning to number two.
Ah, very funny. Don't go there. I've done enough of that area. Yeah, I thought for sure the Kinsey Six would have had something with corn. Children of the Corn. Boy, we milked that to death, didn't we?
About 20 minutes worth of milking.
Hey, I know what we can do right now.
What's that?
I have got two tickets to see Sorted Lives down at the Pasadena Stage Door Theater at the Pasadena Town Square Mall. Caller 2-713-526-5738. They're having performances tomorrow and the next two weekends. Second caller, 713-526-5738. We're not going to ask for money. We're just going to give you tickets. So call in. Please. Pretty please.
And anybody who wants to send in a $20 donation, can it be entered into the raffle for that?
No, we're getting for free. They give us for free. There's 33 feet from hole to hole.
Yes. Like I said, it's set up like a horseshoe pitch.
There's a pitcher's box. Oh, God. We've got to change topics before we go to hell.
Well, too late. We're already there. But then again, I didn't think we were talking about my home.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, but you know what? Talking about that, it actually lowered the temperature in here.
Yeah, it did. So by increasing your body temperature, everything else was relatively calm.
No,
cool. Collected.
No.
Sure, take my chair.
Temperature
you can
up.
Have it back.
I
was only keeping it warm for you while you were gone.
Oh, okay.
This is the...
It's holy.
First week of the
hadn't been
month.
Blessed by a priest.
So hopefully we should be having the cold 45s in here for a quickie sometime here soon.
I think they're outside, along with Hatch.
Or at least one of the 45s is here.
Okay, well, your mic isn't on, but I can hear you.
It's not on? Okay.
Now you're on.
Now he's on.
So let's.
And what fabulous thing are the Cult 45s going to be talking about tonight? Do we know?
I don't know. As soon as he gets in here, we'll know.
Aha.
He's walking down the door now.
Even as we speak. And I'm going to get up and let
him have a chair. Oh, my goodness. They actually are listening to the show out there to know it was time?
No. We don't pay attention to such things.
As Jimmy comes in wiping his mouth.
What's that?
he was getting the glaze off.
That's not what he's wiping. Although I could see how one might confuse the two.
Hey.
Hey, what? Amazing.
I did tell Stephen that he had a hard act to follow.
Apparently not that
it's
hard.
Not the only hard thing I've ever had to follow.
Aha.
Yes, but how many times have you had to follow up cornhole?
Yeah.
A 20-minute discussion on cornhole.
I still don't understand where you're going with that.
There's an actual game.
Yeah.
Well,
speaking of cornhole, I have a friend listening that actually enjoyed that,
Let me take
too.
You to the production room, and I'll show you. Oh, okay.
No, it's not going to be a regulation, because you have to be 33 feet apart. Your holes have to be 33 feet apart if you're going to play cornhole.
Good Lord.
And your box has to be 27 feet apart.
By the way, where's your husband? Huh.
First, let me say, it is always good to be here at KPFD 90.1, 89.5. Docile tones that listen to you.
Why, thank you.
Docile?
Okay, well, Nancy tones that listen to you.
Okay, yes, that's more accurate.
No, Nancy didn't show.
That's another conversation from the patio.
Yes. You're talking about the patio at Ripcord, right?
No. The one right outside the door here, yes.
How dulcet can it be?
You know, month after month, I expect you to walk in with that kilt, and you just never do.
Well, you know, I went Western, and just the Cowboys, then I have to wear side.
And now,
side
now you're Mr. BRB, and so I won't see you in a kilt for at least a year.
And, you know, I did not bring, I forgot my flashing name badge that you were talking about last time for the BRB. It flashes.
Yeah.
My name scrolls across and flashes.
How often do you have to change the batteries on that one?
Never.
Never?
Never.
All right.
It plugs into my pacemaker. Which, since they run off of AAAs, that's only like every 3 or 4 days.
I thought it was solar powered. What do I know?
I had to click off that website. We were getting too funny again.
Talking about programming, it's close to your heart.
Yes.
Well, you know, I know I was not here last month, and when you're not here, they either elect you to position or they talk about you. And
we did both.
Well, almost. So, Phil Lyles, President Phil Lyles.
Yes.
He is in Corpus Christi, and...
Falcon is out in Reese's... It's the Corpus.
The Corpus Courts Coronation.
Ah.
And Corwin and Terry are building, working on wood. Up in Riesel.
Oh, yeah.
Falcon's Riesel, the ripcord.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say Falcon, I think, was out and about. And
ripcord.
And you would be correct.
Yeah. Ripcord.
It was hanging around the meat on the back patio. Yeah.
So it's very disappointing to be here alone. But, you know.
How big was the meat tonight?
At least I don't have the problem that one of my good friends, Mike, has.
Yes.
My good friend, Mike, there's only one thing he can't face, and...
Yes, we know what he can't face. Yeah,
and my cunt just can't face the fact that he's here alone.
I see.
I thought that was you.
Oh, no, that's not me.
That's not you?
He couldn't.
Uh-uh. No, I'm saying, I thought he was the only thing Mike couldn't face.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. This is that flashing yellow light again.
Oh, my.
For those of you who don't know, yeah, he's new. We'll have to tell him the whole Sound of Music thing.
Yeah.
There's this one line where, no.
Please? Which one?
Well, Julie Andrews says, there's only one thing I can't face. And then the older lady says, what is it you can't face? And she says it with a lisp. And
yes.
You play it over and over faster and again, and you're drunk. It sounds like something else.
It's funny.
And so...
How about those Colt 45s?
Thank you once again for allowing the Colt 45s to be here, and we're just pleased as punch to be here as such because we've had lots of friends help us over the last few months. Falcon had a fabulous, three, four days that he helped raise money for the computer and things of that,
that
ilk.
Just amazing.
Just last Sunday at Chances, the crew of Olympus, bless their hearts, they endowed us with $5,000 for the Colt 45's AIDS Trouble Fund.
Very nice.
And this Sunday, we get to work our little bunny ears off with Bunnies on the Bayou to help out, do the bartending, helping with Bunnies on the Bayou when it starts out. And so it's getting into that time of year where we have lots of fun. Of course, it won't be long until we have our June anniversary.
Yes.
Which, you know, I forget what date that is now.
Anniversary? Isn't that the same date every June?
You would think, but, you know, they tend to move them around.
So it's always the third weekend of June.
The calendar is kind of disappointing because when I found out, no, they did not move the solar system around me.
No.
When they said it didn't revolve around the Earth, I thought, well, it must be me instead. But obviously.
I thought you were the center
of
the
world. So it's the 7th of June for those of you scoring at home or even if you're alone.
Hey, that's 4 days after my birthday.
Wait a minute. Scoring alone?
No. Scoring at home or even if you're alone.
Yes.
That's master something, isn't it?
Yeah. Although you don't have to have a master's to do that.
Having fun with oneself.
And, you know, I don't have my glasses on, so I can't calculate the distance between here and the 8-second button, but we won't utilize that.
Only about 20 feet.
Oh. But,
you know, fortunately, it doesn't have to go that far.
And if you need help and or assistance with your rent utilities and you have a valid diagnosis of AIDS and you are on disability with Social Security, you can give us a call at 713-526-6077. Or you can also go online and you can download our application at www.colt45s.org. We have not only an application, but you can email that application in if you have some sort of caseworker. And we do suggest that if you don't, a caseworker is always nice.
Yeah.
By caseworker, are you talking like social work?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't have one, can one be appointed?
You can go to many of the different outlets. There's a lot of places. Thomas Street, they can help you with that. Legacy, AIDS Foundation Houston, Montrose Counseling. A lot of people can point you in that right direction. They have those facilities.
Yeah.
At this point, today, it's with the gulag of different things you can go into. It's almost good to have one. They can help you cut through a lot of the red tape and actually get you, they're able to help you file certain things, and they can make phone calls that sometimes can save you some running around and jogging.
And frustration.
Time, energy, frustration.
Absolutely the frustration
factor.
Well,
the AIDS Trouble Fund, we require the clients that apply to ATF that they go to different organizations and they ask for assistance before, but we're a last resort sort of help unit. And so going through some of the other organizations around here, such as Legacy and Thomas Street and Bearing Omega and some of the different church organizations and things of that sort, they all kind of can work together, and they can tell you, A, if you apply, or when you apply, if you actually are going to be approved for other people, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying it doesn't waste your time, but it allows them some insight, especially if it's the first time they've done things of that sort, too. So it's nice, and we actually get a lot of referrals from different organizations.
Better to have the advice of a professional?
Mm-hmm. Is that how that works? I've never known exactly how it works.
It doesn't all the time, but we see now that there's a lot of people that we are being referred by other organizations.
That's good.
We still have a lot of people that are doing it on their own. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's a lot of people that they know of us because of different places they go to. So it's kind of nice. We have a pretty decent working relationship with most organizations. So.
Good.
Even though we're a small organization, they know us, and it's always a nice thing.
Do you ever have a problem with people trying to abuse the system?
The way it was built into the system going back to, you know, think for a second, going back to 1983,
mm-hmm.
That was not considered, I'm sure you and I have had this conversation, that wasn't considered a problem because the life expectancy of many of our clients wasn't that long.
Well, yeah, in those days it was a year to 18 months.
And I don't think that we, my experience, at least over the last few years, it's, and I think if you talk to anybody else, I don't think it's as much as abuse. I think it becomes a crutch for some people.
Mm-hmm.
They said, we'll just go back. The Colts, we basically, because of the smaller, thinner scope that we have most of our clients, we can help them one time a year.
Okay.
With the money that we have. So
okay.
We don't have those unlimited funds per se. But because of what the stipends that we're able to basically dole out to the different clients,
mm-hmm.
depending on what our funds are, and I'm not being totally oblivious. Mm-hmm. It's just something that depends on how much,
no, I didn't
how
know
much money we have in hand. For example,
yeah.
If we get people that are applying, it sounds bad at this time, but if we have, so we have $2,000 and we have five people apply,
mm-hmm.
and they're all asking for $1,000, we do not give that to the first couple, and then the other people cut off. We try to look and see what's the greater good of the money that we have.
Okay.
We don't wait until we reach in and grab the last Kleenex before we start panicking. We panic all the time.
Yeah.
Looking down the road. Well, like with a lot of nonprofits, and it sounds bad sometimes with people when you may be sitting on what it is a lot of money. To me, you know, $5, $50 is a lot of money, but for some people you may be sitting on $5,000 or $15,000 or $20,000. You'd be able to say, well, what do they need money for? That's, you know, that's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But when you when they're going right now, as a client comes in, they may need help with rent, and that may be $650,
yeah.
$600, and then they maybe need some utility help, and that's, depending on what time of year it is, that could be anywhere between $150 and $300.
Sure.
And then maybe some phone assistance, that starts working its way to about $1,000 just to help. And sometimes you don't get hit with all that at one time. People, you have to... I'm taking the long way around here, but I'm actually coherent tonight. Not that I'm not every night, but we find that majority of people don't ask for what they don't need.
Ah.
That's good with the human spirit. A lot of people, if they need one, they may take two just because they might need to. That's one of those aspects.
Mm.
They may ask for it, but we get a lot of people that... they don't abuse the system. They take only what they need, and to get them to kind of a comfort factor. And that's why it's, again, nice if they have some sort of social worker or case manager, because they know basically they don't have to punch up what their bills are, because we don't allow that. You know, there's a lot of people too, when you come in, you ask for assistance, and I don't think know some of the people that have been listening or that we know, we don't just give the money to the client. You say, well, I need $600 for my rent. Here you go, Bob. Here's a $600 check. We pay that directly to the apartment complex or their landlord.
Mm-hmm.
We pay it to, you know, CenterPoint or whoever their energy people may do. And as with every organization, we reserve that right, and a lot of times we do.
Mm-hmm.
We check up and we say, okay, they do owe $283 on their electricity.
Yeah.
Or they do owe this. And once in a while, there are people that, you know, they come in, and what they ask for, between what they ask for and the weekly meetings, that may change because their deadline to pay it may have popped up, or maybe they came into some other cash, and that money decreases. And there's a lot of times, 9 out of 10 times, people will call and say, hey, we put in an application, we said that we needed, you know, $183 for electricity. I don't need that now because I managed to get somebody else to help take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't need that part. And there's a lot of people that are good that way.
Wow.
Human nature is, it's refreshing if you kick back. And
but I'm not naive enough to think that there aren't people who...
But and I mean to skate around, but in the history of 25 years with our organization, and
mm-hmm.
I'm not saying we're not good at what we do, but we're not professionals. It's volunteers. Yeah, there have been some people that, you know, they have they've probably gotten by and they think they've gotten over because maybe it's like they got something that they weren't owed. But I think every organization has that where they look back and say, oh, dang, you know, we should have checked this or this is the way we do that.
Well, just the mere fact that you're paying the landlord and the electric company and, you know, directly. Rather than just handing money over.
And we verify that.
Yeah.
And the funds all come through private donations. None of it is through public assistance kind of grant.
We get no grants. It's all through public assistance. Any sort of grants we may get have come over the years from, like, Bunnies on the Bayou, mm-hmm. Crew of Olympus, ERESIS, ICUH, Misfits Houston, Holyfield Foundation. We've got some from Diana's. We've got some from Black Tie. But they don't come from any Ryan White money or any city civic dollars.
Wow.
It's not that we can't. We could probably, I'm not saying we could go out and we could file for some of those grants. But it comes, just my experience, it's me editorializing some of it.
Comes with
You're taking from some people that might want need it. I'm not saying more than you do, but if you've got an organization that's built around getting federal dollars, then there's only so many federal dollars a year, and it's kind of like moving those dollars from pocket to pocket sometimes. And also, there's an oversight that you have to have on some of those aspects, and we don't have any overhead. We're lucky enough that the BRB and Darren and Cliff and everybody has, and the people before them, this ownership has given us an office upstairs where we can keep things safe and sound. We've had people donate and chip in for computers before. We have, it's not the best, but it's good solid equipment. It's good solid people. It's like that fabulous car sitting outside. It's not a brand new Mercedes, but dang, it's good. What we have is good. We can't complain.
Yeah.
If you have a 3 gigahertz computer and they're not putting out 4, 3 ain't bad.
Mm-hmm.
we're not crunching numbers. Yeah. We're processing data form, so it's like we can't complain.
Better than what you had before,
right?
The car he's referring to is that someone donated a 2005 Mercury Marquis to the radio station, and they are raffling the car off.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets
$20
are $20, and they're going to be doing that.
The Art Car
I'm
Parade.
I'm thinking, which is May 9th, which is just a month away.
Wow.
And as per usual, they probably will sell between 500 and 1,000 tickets.
And if I want it,
$20 each.
And if I want it, I'd paint it pink.
You know, of course. So, you know, when you think of that few tickets being sold, chances are pretty good.
Oh, yes, very.
So, yeah, $20 to get $24,000 car.
Well, yeah, but it would have been like $24,000 brand new. But
no,
the 2005 model.
I saw the sheet on it. I think that's what the current book is $24,000.
You know, that's black book would be if it was in good condition.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I haven't really taken a look at that car out there.
It has 20,000 miles on it.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
And I think Jimmy will tell you the seats do go all the way back.
Jimmy has not been inside the car.
Like I said, I would have to. I'd actually have to go out there and take a look at the car itself. And even though I'm not an official appraiser of vehicles, I mean, 24,000 would be closer to what that car would probably have gone for a brand new.
Oh, really? It's a nice.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a nice car, though. I mean, but if you don't have a car, it's a dang good car.
It's definitely a good car.
And if you got, it's nice.
It's a big car, but it's a good car.
Yeah, it is big.
I know somebody who had a car that used to look kind of like that.
If you like big ones, we've got one for you.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Because I say, car like that, you could put a lot of food in that. But where's Chris?
You could ride quite comfortably inside that car.
Yes.
But again, Chris's normal car is a Crown Vic, which is the Ford version of that automobile anyway.
Yeah, that's about right, yeah. But now he's in a Ford Focus.
Focus, yes. And he's having difficulty remaining in Focus while he's still inside that Focus.
Focus?
Do what?
Nothing.
What does KBB say about that car? Never mind.
But and I forgot to add, well, if I can do a quick little segue.
Yes.
Talking about the fun things we do, we also, you know,
to the Colt 45s.
You pay it forward with the Colt 45s. Mm-hmm. We try to. And May 8th, 9th, and 10th coming up is the Lady Victoria Lust PWA Camp Out.
It is indeed.
And I believe they'll be
so
doing,
looking forward to
doing
this.
Some sort of fabulous surprise food for lunch.
Ooh.
You know, it's always kind of a Westernish cult theme, and watch out, because I think Hop Sing's Kitchen is coming to the camp out.
The Colts always, as long as I've been going to the camp out, come up. It's like 3 hours to get there. It's 100 and some miles?
It's not that bad. It's a couple hours, and if you ride with me, it's about 4.
Oh.
There's a lot of Western where it's
There are.
You know, you take that first right when you come into Brenham, there's the Bluebell, and you take that first street. Did you know there's a custom boot shop right there?
I did not know that.
You know, the whole...
God knows you've always been driven to leather.
So,
or was that driven by leather?
The Colts come up and serve lunch, which means they have to leave pretty early, which means they probably have to do all this food stuff the night before. And
This year we've got a plethora of Colts that are going to
$5
be
word.
Staying. That was my word.
Checks in the mail.
Really?
And I think that we're actually going to do a reception party. Be very afraid. A blast from the past, perhaps, because I was talking with somebody who was there early on, and we may be blessed with the goddesses of drink. There was years. You remember that? I was told that story. There was back in Lady Victoria Lust and Regina Dane, and now I can't forget the other two, where they did the goddess of grain, the goddess of potato. It was 4 different drinks. It was gin, the goddess of juniper.
Yes.
And I can't remember the other, but I think they will be visiting upon the goddesses of drink this year, or something of that sort.
I see.
It probably won't be pretty, but, you know, just drink your juice.
Yeah, that's right.
Just make sure to turn your keys on the road.
Oh, no, they'll be spending the night.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, then leave your keys in your room.
If the bunkhouse
is... There's
no room. It's all tents and cabins.
The bunkhouse is rocking. Don't
Big
bother
deal. Just
knocking.
Leave your keys wherever you're sleeping. I love camping, too, but just leave your keys where you're sleeping.
Underneath the bedroll, right?
And if you are a PWA and you haven't been there, or even if you have and you want to go back, please go to vlpwacampout.com and please check that out. You can get your applications in now, or I can give you John Shefchek's phone number right now. He's at home.
Is he now?
No, I'm just joking.
Give him a call right now.
Isn't that weird?
Or you can go to the Texas Conference of Clubs website. That would be the TexasConferenceOfClubs.org,
I believe. Where you and Merlin went last year?
Yes.
I think it's actually org.com, either one. But
org.com.
I think they're, But it was fun. That's right. You and Merlin were,
we were in the bunkhouse together.
Okay, can we say it? Well, you know, I've gotten in trouble before because, you know, it's like I'm so, you know, friendly, but there's some people that go places that I'm not supposed to say they're at. But yes, it was nice.
Oh, Merlin's talked about it on
there. Okay. Yeah. It's always good to see Pinky in the raw. I mean,
that's in the rough.
Of a campsite.
That's like, you know, a diamond in the rough.
Pinky in the buff?
Yeah, Pinky in the raw. Ooh, boy.
It
takes you a while to get used to that sight, doesn't it?
Lord knows, first time I turned that corner, I saw the Emperor's new clothes.
Yeah, and who was the tailor on that one?
Rose was blinded for several hours.
Oh, actually, it was me and Falcon. It was like this.
Rose-colored glasses. Rose-colored glasses.
Oh, it was...
Oh, boy.
Well, that, or most of the time, the bottles come in brown.
Little tiny bottles.
Little tiny bottles.
How is the Empress?
The Empress.
Rose.
Oh, Rose. That Empress Rose. Oh.
Are you talking Daddy Rose?
Daddy Rose.
I want to answer it like everybody asks, how am I? I'm always better than a... Anyway.
Yeah.
yes. always better than...
Let me warm the hands first.
But then you get what you pay for.
Wait a minute. I ain't paid for nothing yet.
Oops.
Yes. Uh-huh. Somebody asked me if I tried paying for sex, and I said yes, but they still didn't let me have. They won't do anything with me, even when I pay them to.
Donation.
Russ is doing okay.
Good.
It seems like a long time ago. Was she? Yeah, she was an empress of something. That was still last year. I mean, that was a long time ago. In fact, I believe, you know, like, what the heck? I'm sure I can get trouble for that.
But how quickly time flies?
Yeah.
She's snapped back in record time, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, they've had a lot
she
of
did.
That's what I like about the Colts. We get.
I had a fun time with her.
We have a cross section. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we had a fun time.
Really?
Well, not that much fun.
Really?
And not even that kind of fun. Thank you very much.
Especially.
Really? Okay. So you like antiques, do you?
I think I was with Roxy a couple of times.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That Louie. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that Louie. I kind of blacked most of that out of my memory between you and somebody else's name whose name I won't mention. Adam.
Bad.
I never like to out people on the radio. Adam.
Madam, I'm Adam.
Oh, he paid me a wonderful compliment.
Is that the only thing he paid you?
That's it.
Okay. And what was the compliment?
Mm-mm. Just a compliment.
Just a compliment?
Just a compliment. He'll know. He's listening now and cringing.
Hmm.
Are or he sure? will be listening tomorrow and cringing That's when somebody tells him that he should be listening.
That's possible.
Hmm. Yeah.
And who is this Adam?
Oh, never mind.
No. We'll have to bring him in one day. But, you know, he only works one day a week.
I know.
So he has to be up.
Yeah.
On Sundays.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Oh, well.
That'll tick him off just as much as that. Anyway.
Oh, boy, we're done for now.
Too late.
Yeah.
Can you say roasted?
Oh, do you have a piece of music?
Do I have a piece
yes,
of music?
Yes, we do. Are we ready now?
Hatch is coming up.
Thank you once again.
And they're waiting off in the wings.
KPFT, and thank you, Jimmy, and thank you, Chris. And
thanks, and thank you, Stephen. And Wes.
And Wes.
Wes.
I was going to say Wes. Wes.
It's like the direction.
Somebody said, go west, young man, and they heard, go west, young man. And
you know. I tried, and he said no, and you know.
Well, when they say go west, young man, I mean, there's not too many young men walking in here.
I'll say, we'll talk about that. Because that was, no, I want to say, wait, the Colts get around. I had a fabulous time at Rich's tonight. I just wanted
to what was going
give
on
a big
there?
Shout out to all the people at Rich's. And Montrose Softball League. They had their big pranksters in. Pranksters and pumps.
In pumps, yes.
And I couldn't tell you what it raised because I was outside raising spirits.
And I gave them what for this week because they didn't publicize that very much to the entire community until this week, which is a little late for a lot of the media to give them any kind of promotion.
It wasn't grandiose, but they did fairly decent.
Wow.
Okay. So, I at least that was an unofficial thing. But I know that they were raising money for Legacy and AFH and somebody else.
Yeah.
I feel guilty that I didn't. Was who?
And somebody else?
I don't remember who. It was just one of those things, and I hate that I don't know of that sort.
They usually do several. I know one year they gave money to the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard.
It's a nice thing. They do three events a year.
And they've even helped out Gink Cam, haven't they?
They may have. I don't remember.
They touch a lot of people. They help out. It's a good group of people.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where you don't have to go to a begging and pleading meeting. I mean, it's just kind of a surprise. Like, oh, why? Why, thank you.
Mm.
Thank you for thinking of us. So, yes.
If you want to start a softball league, you got to have a lot of balls.
Yeah.
I'm not so worried about the balls as I am the bats.
I'll take care of the bats.
There's a few of those
we
in the
know
belfry.
You will, Jimmy.
Yes.
But thank you once again. Anyone talk so much. I'll put another quarter in the slot.
Okay. Coming up is Hatch.
The Mitts, you know?
Yep, that too. All right, let's move on.
Okay.
Later for the president, later for society and the Constitution. Baby, won't you marry me? Later for the politics, religious folks and hypocrites. Loving you is all I need. Baby, won't you marry me?
Now I'll be damned if I have to hesitate on saying I do, because the public won't acknowledge my love for you. They ain't slanging no checks from under this roof right here. You don't hear me though. I promise you to do the best I can. I'm on both knees asking you to be your man. I'm talking wedding bands, diamond rings and things that bling. A ceremony held that it comes to a long way. Because
I know it's you. A union and invitation, no matter, as long as we got the rings and best man, true family and good friends. Oh yeah, and one more correction, you won't be my lover anymore, you'll be my husband, a wife.
I respect you, it's
the one who really wanna give my life to you. The one who wanna give my life to you.
And that was Tori Fix with Marry Me. And in the studio, we have our wonderful little hatchlings. Hello, guys and gals.
Hello.
Hello.
My name's Elizabeth.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Brendan, the adult facilitator for the Hatch program.
And this is the Hatch Show. So we wanted to talk about a little of what's going on with Hatch this these last couple of months. And one of the big projects we're working on is an art car.
Mm-hmm. And this is the first time Hatch has done an art car, is that right?
I think we've done one in the past, but
yes.
It didn't turn out too well. So this is the first time that we've actually had a really good turnout for the art car, and we're all working on it. And we've done our layouts and all that stuff. We still have a few more things, and we start painting next week.
Yes, we need to do that.
Any idea what the theme is, or is that secret?
It's a secret.
Of
course.
But it will also be used as our pride float. So.
Oh, okay, good.
It's kind of the art car and pride float.
Mm-hmm.
So the two themes tie in together.
Oh, good, good.
Which was really cool.
What is the theme, by the way, for the pride parade?
Justice for all.
Justice for all.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
So we also wanted to talk about what's also happening at Hatch, like our, on a regular schedule. On Fridays, Hatch is from 7 to 10.
From 7 to 10. On Sundays, it's from 6 to 9. And on Tuesdays it's from 5 to 9.
9, yeah. Mm-hmm. On Fridays and Sundays, it's the same base schedule. It's first hour social, second hour is activity, and third hour is
small group.
On Tuesdays, it gets changed up a little. First hour is all the meetings that happen for Hatch.
It's basically social group. And then you have, at 6, you have the trans support group. Mm-hmm. And then at 7, you have the writers group.
From 7 to 9 is writers group.
Yes, and from 7 to 9.
And me and Deb have been working together for writers group for a while. Because we're working on a movie. And we've just started a program for writers group where the first segment of writers group is improv.
Oh, fun.
So everybody's really enjoying the improv activities. So it's been a little interesting for me because I've never run improv before, and now I'm running an improv group.
That's great. What's tell us a little bit more about the whole movie idea.
Well, it has changed a lot over the last couple of months. We've been working on it for a while, but everyone kind of wanted to keep it fun.
Right.
And so it's about a group of kids, basically. And we're all writing different people in the movie or video, because it's not going to be a movie. But, yeah. But we're all writing different parts of it, and we're going to put it together, and it's going to be kind of a collaboration thing.
Oh, great. Is there going to be a viewing, a showing, or...?
There will be a viewing if we can ever get it shot.
Oh, wow.
Yes, basically.
Yeah, if we can get everything done and the pace we've been getting it done, we should have a viewing soon, so... But we've been doing a lot of work on it, and it's been a little more, like, people are a little more active now that we're doing the improv ahead of time.
Yes, yes, they are. It just seems, I think it just seemed like we were just going from trans group to...
To work.
Writers group, and it just didn't
There wasn't any
correct.
Fun, so I wanted to add some fun into it, so now we have improv time. Which is great, because you got, 10 to 15 kids in a room standing up doing random things. It's great.
And it
gets
like their fun.
It gets people's brains active, because you got two kids on a little stage area, and you say, okay, you're now this, go.
Right.
You're in a shopping mall, one of you's pregnant, you're having a kid, go. It's great. It leads to all sorts of random things you'd never think of.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
it's just very interesting, because we're doing kind of mockumentary style, so a lot of it's going to be improv, so we had to get that in there somehow. So we were like, well, this might help us out. So it's just very interesting how we've worked out a little kinks in our entire programming.
Yeah, because a lot of the writers and writers group had decided that they really didn't want to lay out a full script. I mean, we're writing basic stuff, but they didn't want to lay out a full, like, every line down.
Because it just doesn't feel as natural, in our opinions.
Reno 911 type of scenario?
Exactly.
Yes, exactly.
So they wanted to come up with a way of just kind of coming up with it as they go. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting there going, well, you got to have a little practice in that. So we've been doing a lot of improv for that.
Mm. Yeah.
So. We've also just set down all of our prom information.
Yes.
And it will be coming out soon in the Outsmart.
Yes, we actually chose
our theme and everything.
Theme,
mm-hmm.
Which is?
80s.
Oh.
Yes.
I will be dressing up as Indiana Jones.
Fun, that's fun.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm not going to wear an 80s suit. Hmm, what came out in the 80s? Ooh, Indiana Jones. I'll wear that.
Yeah, I'll just stick with my 80s prom dress and my ratted hair. That's bigger than I'll get out.
My sister, on the other hand, gets to wear one of my mom's old 80s suits.
Oh, that's fun.
It's this red silk thing that looks horrifyingly like the 80s, so yay.
It sounds very interesting. I haven't seen it yet, and I'm sure it's atrocious. I've only heard wonderful things about it, but I'm sure it's atrocious.
I haven't heard anybody say anything wonderful about it.
Be like, oh, back in the... Mom says, back in the 80s, it was the big thing. I used to wear it all the time, and I was like...
It had
like,
the big shoulder pads.
Oh, yeah.
And it has a cape. It has a cape, and it's like, oh.
It has the long
arms.
Oh,
no.
And,
you,
oh.
you Yeah, the cape didn't sell us on the item. No, just walk away from it.
Oh, it's nothing we would wear, okay?
I'm sure. If we wanted to look like we were vampires and ready, hey, 80s vampires that are just
on the style.
The sock.
Wait, you know, 20 years from now and people will be looking at what we wear and go, oh my God, I'd never wear that.
What?
Until it becomes retro and then it's
and
cool
then
again.
And then it's retro and
well,
then it's all
I
cool.
don't think so because nowadays, 2000s, it's pretty much everything's coming into style again in different things where everybody has their own personal style. It's this, and everything's very sleek and modern, so it's not really like I see cardigans coming back. I see just different things.
Bell bottoms, high.
Yep, exactly.
Everything is coming.
But
back.
I don't say. I really hope that the blue tuxedo never comes back. I hope
blue, gray, beige, anything with ruffles in the front should never be worn again.
That's definitely 70s. That's yeah. 70s.
That is the 70s. Yeah. My dad wore that to his prom.
It's called. If you see it, if it's called. If you see one, please buy it and then burn it in effigy.
That's yeah, my dad was going through his trunk of old clothing and he pulled out his powder blue tux.
Yes,
with the ruffle front, and he had three different ruffle shirts for it: peach one, a beige
of
one,
course.
And a white one. And I wanted to throw them all away the moment I saw them.
because you need three different shirts for a bright blue suit. That speaks for itself already. But, oh no, we need a peach. Oh. Oh my God, you know what would look great with this? A peach shirt! Oh, that would just be heaven.
We're making a lot of the people in the room uncomfortable by talking about clothing.
Yes, us old farts who remember the 80s.
Well, there's one thing about the 80s that's not so bad. Well, let me think about it. Let me... Mixtapes!
I was born?
Yeah, go with it. Go with it. Run with it.
The music was good.
The music
yeah,
was
yeah.
okay.
The music was okay.
There's some good music coming out of the 80s.
The hair was really bad. Most of it was...
Well, yeah, mullets were...
Oh, the mullets? I tried to dress it up a little bit. Mullet?
I work in Tomball. They still have mullets.
They need to get rid of the mullet. I'm
sorry.
I came
back from lunch one time. I went to my coworkers and I said, I just saw the worst case of child abuse ever. And he looked at me like, what? I said, it was a four-year-old with a mullet.
They need to outlaw mullets and rat tails. I'm sorry.
Oh,
they
yes, rat tails. That's right. That's another 80s thing.
No.
Yeah, those are some fashions.
But I will say, I did have rat tail once upon a time. When Mr. I'm Billy Ray scared. Cyrus had his little rat tail. Because, you know, you don't want to... Don't break my heart, my achy, breaky heart. Yeah, back in the day. Uh-huh.
Oh,
my father day. Had his until I was 12. It was sad. It was sad. Yes, but moving right along.
But what day is prom? I don't remember.
We haven't decided.
We haven't set the date yet.
I think we've decided the date. I think it's June 18th, I want to say. But do not quote me. Do not quote me.
Don't show up on June 18th in your 80s
yeah.
outfit.
It's yeah, going. It's that. Going to be in June, probably yeah. in the teens area, on a Saturday.
On a Saturday, it's usually on a Friday. Are you sure it's on a Saturday?
I thought it's usually on a Saturday.
Josh, I don't know. They,
it's typically it's the past umpteen years.
Umpteen
it's been
years,
on a
Friday.
Friday.
Yeah.
Then I don't know. Maybe it's on a Friday. I don't know. Well, I said don't quote me, so...
See, he doesn't want to think about it because he's going to have to be passing off his crown.
I don't have to pass off my crown. I'm like Miss USA. I get to keep my crown. I just have to give a phony crown to the next person.
A phony crown?
Yeah, that's right. Oh, they ain't getting my crown. They ain't getting my sash either.
Yeah, see, me and Josh were the royalty of last year, so we were going to be giving it to the next year.
Yes, I was royalty. The prom queen, and she was the prom king, which I keep on telling her. In our community, the prom queen has lots of more power.
And I found this to be true. I can never tell my queen what to do.
Yes, because you don't have drag queens as you have drag kings. You have drag queens more often than you do have drag kings. And I tell her that in the community, if you compare them side by side, the drag queens rule because they're bitchy and they get their way usually. Compared to the drag queens who are usually like, okay. They just shake their head. They're like Elizabeth. They just shake their head and agree.
Oh boy, you did not go there.
Oh yes I did. Oh yes I did. You wanna bring it? It'd be on. We take it. We need to take this outside.
We need to talk more about Hatch.
Yes, so, but moving right on to what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the things that are coming up. Coming up recently, we're going to talk about Easter. We're going to talk about Passover and
Estre.
And if you do not know what any of the three are, Easter is the Christian celebration of Jesus rising from the dead. Estre is
the pagan or Druidic celebration of the religion and the gods and all that stuff.
And Passover is the celebration of the Jewish people I know.
My dad just told him this.
No, I knew the story. Everybody knows the story because it's an Old Testament story. It's the passing of death coming through Egypt and killing all the firstborns, and that's where you get Passover. And
no, sweetie.
That's what I'm going with. And my dad.
The actual phrase of the Passover portion was that
he told me that, and I was like, I'll go with it. I'll go with it. Okay, go ahead.
God told someone that they were going to smite the firstborn of all the houses in Egypt, except for ones that were marked with lamb's blood, and those houses were passed over from having their firstborn killed.
Which is a little different from celebrating the death of the firstborn.
Yes! Just a little bit, but come on.
Macabre, party of one.
I'm always thinking
the opposite of what actually the Passover celebration is.
In Egypt, a pharaoh was... I don't remember exactly what he was doing to the Jewish community, but...
Well, he enslaved
oppressing them.
He was oppressing them.
He was enslaving them and oppressing them.
But
and told them to build the pyramids. That's what some people say.
Anyways, they called out to God to help them, and that's what happens.
That's what happens.
Moses came in, and Red Sea parted, and... Egyptians were flooded and all that stuff.
The rest is history.
The rest is history.
Or in the Bible.
Right.
in the Bible and the Torah, whichever one you want to go with. Yeah.
And, Oestre is Wiccan holiday, which is celebrated in my household. My family celebrates it.
Yes. And I celebrate.
Are they Wiccans?
My mom, my dad, and my sister. I'm undeclared. Yeah. I don't know what I am.
And I celebrate. Easter. So I have my little Easter bunny. Yeah, and not a big crucifix, but just an Easter bunny.
What's interesting about my house is that even though we celebrate Oestre and all that stuff, we still, me, my dad, and my sister still go to a Catholic church for Mass.
Wow, that's interesting. Do you identify as witches, or is that politically correct?
My family's Wiccan.
Wiccan. So it's Wiccan.
It's Wiccan.
Oh, how interesting.
They do their little ceremony and everything. Mm-hmm. So it's actually pretty cool in my house. They my dad talks about it a lot, but like I said, I'm undeclared.
Yes, and I lean more towards the Christian faith, because that's what I was raised with, so. And I'm slowly leaning more towards the Wiccan side, but at the same time, I'm trying to learn about all religions
And you could be a Unitarian Universalist.
I could. And then I'd be like, okay, I'm just going to accept everybody. And yes, you're all your religions are right. And then it's going to be like, okay, kind of that aspect. It's just very interesting. Because I think that all religions in some form are right on in some aspects.
A lot of
except the part where all the other ones are wrong.
Yeah, perhaps. I don't believe in that.
We get
that's
lost
the one
on
thing
that
I don't believe in. But
those are the three ones I know about to talk about. I'm lost
on
the other ones.
Yes. On the other ones, if there were any other ones, then we're a little bit.
Tell us a little bit about what's involved in the Wiccan, the Druidic based.
Well, see, I'm not really that familiar with it.
Oh,
I don't want to go off talking about
that. That's right. You said you were.
I'm undeclared, which means I don't know a lot about the religious aspects. But what we're going to talk about today is like family traditions and stuff like that, and things that certain families do on these days, the holidays and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, I know my family. Whenever we would wake up. And since my family isn't religious, I'm the religious one, so it's very fascinating. The gay one's the religious one, so it's like, huh? What's up with that? But it's just very interesting because when we wake up, and we always wake up, and it's usually around 12 because we're not early risers. We don't get up early. Oh, no. Except for on Easter. Not Easter, on Christmas. And that's when we get up at 5 in the morning. And to open up presents. We don't care what time it is. We're like, presents? Oh, yes, we're going to open them. So Easter, we get up about 12, and then we have Easter Bunny. We have the Easter Bunny. That's how we put it. The Easter Bunny comes, just like Santa Claus comes, and just like the Tooth Fairy comes, and just gives you magical presents. And so the Easter Bunny comes along, and he leaves us a little basket. And it usually has a chocolate bunny inside of it, which usually isn't hollow, because we do not like hollow bunnies. That's not a good thing. Okay, and so after eating the bunny for weeks, because it's a chocolate bunny. It lasts for a couple of weeks, and so basically, we eat most of the candy in there, and then we start. To talk about the religious aspect a little bit, but we don't kind of cover that aspect. We're just like, oh, yes, we're Christian, but we don't go to church or we don't read the Bible, so we're still Christian in that category, which is kind of a little crazy. But yeah, but it's just very interesting what my family does. And so... Yeah, I remember one Easter we went to the park and we just sat at the park and ate our candy. And we were like, why are we at the park? It's very interesting, different things that my family has done on Easter. But I think that Easter, for most people, is a celebration of things that have come. And that, not like Christmas, because Christmas is just like, oh, it's Christmas time, family time. It's more of a time of reflection on things. So that's what I view it as.
Well, in my house, Josh is going to learn quite quickly, because now he's living with me, that Easter is a morning of early. Very early. I work at night, so it's going to be early for me. I have to get up around 7.
Oh, I need to get up.
Which means
he
will be getting
hours.
Up at like 7.
I need like 12 hours. So.
Or 7:30, 45, maybe, if I can get him out of bed.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, 7:45.
And we do the little family thing in the morning. We give out the baskets and the stuffed animals and all that stuff, because even though we're not quite into the religious aspects, we still believe in, like, the giving aspect. So we do that, and then me and my dad and my sister, and sometimes my mom, will go to Easter Sunday Mass. And we usually do it at a Catholic church in downtown that we've been going to, and I don't remember the name.
The big one.
The big one that they rebuilt it.
Oh, yeah, a few years ago. That's right.
Yeah. Right. When I was really young, though, we used to go to Grace Presbyterian, which was our church. It was my family's church. Before that, we were Jewish. It's very confusing.
Wow, you guys have really done the whole religious tour, haven't you?
Yeah, it was interesting. But anyways, after we do that, we go to the park or a museum or the beach or something, and we do something as a family. Because it's one of the days, like, we usually try and do everything as a holiday, as a family event. Because, you know, with everybody in the house being over 18, everybody working, we barely get to see each other as it is. So.
That could be a lot of get-togethers with all these religions that, that you guys...
Oh, God. Looking back in my family's history, it's interesting.
Every other week, there's a new religious...
No, it's been... my family's been Wiccan for several years, so... Oh. Since I was about 8, I think. Like I said, I'm undeclared, so... Oh. But one of the things we want to talk about is, you know, everybody's got a tradition for, you know, certain holidays and every holiday. And as always, when it comes to holidays with stress or family, we talk about dealing with stress and dealing with your family. So we're going to talk about that. And we're also going to talk about the season coming up, which is going to be summer.
And
I can't believe how summer,
how
close summer is.
How spring, how lovely spring is.
Got to step in real quick. You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Ta-da.
Okay.
Ba-da-ba.
And that is never recorded. It still gets me. Yeah, so a lot of times when it comes to Easter, if you don't live with your family or you don't normally see them, we always see our family on holidays. And Easter is one of the holidays that a lot of times families get together. They have barbecues, they go out to church, they do all the family stuff. So this is one of the holidays where some kids have to be somebody who they're not. Some kids get made fun of by their family, and some people just don't know where they fit. So... You know, when you're, you know, picking eggs and everything out of the grass, you're not sure. You know, you gotta figure out where you fit in, and being safe is one of the biggest things.
Yeah, it is very important, especially when you're just picking.
Would you leave that alone? I couldn't think of anything to say.
Well, I'm sorry, my dear, but you said picking eggs.
Shush!
Just remember, when you pick up an egg...
Oh, be quiet. He's being mean to me now.
No, I'm trying to... I have a metaphor. But no, you ruined my metaphor. So go ahead. Speak, Elizabeth. Speak, because I was going to give a lovely metaphor, but no.
Well, one of the good traditions about Easter in the gay community is you've got some really big events coming up, like Bunnies on the Bayou, which is a longtime friend of Hatch. Mm-hmm. They've supported Hatch financially. We've been a beneficiary of theirs for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a close tie there. So as you get older in the GLBT community, the holidays have whole new traditions that come up.
Mm-hmm.
And there's others. What else is coming up? Jungle Lust, I think, is another Easter holiday tradition in GLBT community. So,
Yeah, I apologize to everybody. We've been I got off work a few minutes ago, so I was.
And one that we've lost is the high heel race from Mary's to Kroger.
Oh,
that?
No, I that sounds like so much fun.
Yeah, it used to be a tradition, a high heel race, normally in drag, from Mary's to Kroger. You had to buy a certain amount, I mean, you had a list of things you had to get that cost exactly a certain amount, and you had to do it all correctly. And then run back to Mary's.
That is great.
In heels.
Oh, dear.
That is great. When's the last time that happened?
I could have
entered that. It's been a couple of years.
I could have entered that and I would have won.
Oh, I know. I know. It's been a couple of years since they've had that. And
oh, wow.
It's truly missed.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds like so much fun. Mm-hmm.
I just want to get a chair and sit on the side and watch a bunch of
people fall over.
Another thing that was kind of a spring-summer thing was the garden party.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Remember that? That was a drag afternoon on a Sunday. Kind of like a tea dance in drag. And a lot of people who normally didn't do drag did drag for that because it was a huge event.
How fun is that?
There were hundreds and hundreds of people. You would go to Rich's and it would be tightly packed.
Oh,
it was
wow.
that big of an event.
That sounds like fun. Yeah. When's the last time they did that?
That's been several years.
Hmm.
So our traditions kind of come and go.
They do.
Kind of secular. I have a feeling that something like a garden party will be back in about 10 years.
Oh, that's
things,
probably true.
Things like that happen.
And maybe someone listening might say, hey, we need to bring that back.
We do. Yeah. And it was one of those things that started out small. It started out in someone's backyard.
Right.
And just kind of grew and grew and grew and then became a big fundraiser.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, probably the people who spearheaded that just moved on or got tired or decided to
Well, as garden party kind of dwindled down, Bunnies on the Bayou were coming up.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And that's become a big event.
It's huge. Yes, especially with the Flag Boys.
Oh, yeah.
And all of that. It's a wonderful event.
It really is.
Plus, the fact that it's held in a public park in downtown Houston is significant for our community.
That's
because
right.
it kind of also helps legitimize us.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And you see people who are walking down downtown during that time. They'll look over the side and say, oh, what's going on over there?
Yeah.
Oh, it happens at that park on Allen Parkway, right?
It's very close to the Wortham Center.
Yes. And all of the police officers who are assigned to keep
things, guard.
Yeah. They're all gay and lesbian.
Oh,
I didn't know that.
Police
that's
officers
nice.
Volunteer their time to do that.
That's great. And, you know, that's something that happens in the GLBT community, especially around holidays. There'll be local traditions that come up within the community that are associated with that holiday.
Yeah.
That kind of becomes your own little signature way of celebrating a particular Christian or faith-based holiday that maybe you don't subscribe to that particular view.
Right.
So.
I just got whispered in my
ear. I can imagine.
Our intrepid photographer.
Oh, dear.
Bunnies on the Bayou is a photographer's delight.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And the bunny ears, you get gay men who have the opportunity to dress up, and they have the little bunny ears.
Mm-hmm. But you give a gay man an opportunity to dress up, and it's an interesting event.
That's right.
Most of them don't, but there's some drag and bunny ears and little additions.
Right. And the silver beads are everywhere.
Yeah.
My dad is a cab driver, so he always brings one or two, three or four chains of the silver beads home every year after Bunnies on the Bayou.
Oh, that's great.
That's because everybody thinks he's gay.
It's true. The gayest straight man
you will ever meet. Yes, he
should have his own show.
He's into fashion and decorating. It's
very interesting. It's very interesting. And me and Elizabeth just the other day were talking about me and my high heel fetish. I don't know if you could call it a fetish.
We had to put a new rack in for his high heels.
It's an 18-pair rack. And I want to start the high heel march again. One day. High heel relay, that's what we'll call it. The high heel relay, it'll work. One day, I will start that back up, and I will win. I'm very competitive. And I can walk in those things. But,
well, with 18, I would hope you'd be able to walk in them.
Yeah. I've been walking in them for years. So,
never, ever put me in a pair. I will break an ankle.
Like
there will be bones broken somewhere.
She can barely walk in shoes, yet alone high heels. But moving right along, one of the other things that we wanted to talk about is this since Easter and these other religious faith
holidays
are religious based, we suggest that you don't come out. Because it's just not a very since it's a religious holiday, it's not a very safe holiday to come out on.
My dad always makes fun of the fact that I came out on a holiday.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we always talk about is that for safe reasons, if you feel you're safe enough to come out on a holiday, then you're go right on ahead.
Yes.
If you're one of the things we talk about at Hatch is that if you're in a place where you're not going to lose your housing,
mm-hmm.
your college fund, your car, or anything that is necessary for you to survive, that's food and water and clothing and shoes and car, and don't come out. It is never a good thing just to be yourself if you lose that stability that you need at that time. Until you can be stable on your own, it is not a good idea.
That's and if you need to tell somebody, then tell a couple of friends.
That or find a group like Hatch that is very private. We don't go telling other people what you are or who you are.
Mm-hmm.
We are very private at Hatch, and you can come in and talk to us about your problems, and you don't have to worry about that. And if you need to talk to somebody, there are always the GLBT, the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard, and all sorts of GLBT programs out there for talking. So.
Mm-hmm.
He always makes fun of me about that one.
Well, which holiday was it?
Valentine's Day.
Oh.
It was a year ago Valentine's Day. I've been out for a little more over a year.
Mm-hmm.
My sister was making fun of me because she had known since the October before. And she kept making fun of me in the back of the car or, you know, my parents would make random statements about some boy, about me dating, or my future husband, and it got to the point where she was just laughing so much, my mom couldn't figure out, and she's like, okay, you just have to tell them, okay? Just get it over with, and, you know, we knew my parents would be okay with it. It was just the final step in being out is saying, hey, mom, dad, I'm a lesbian.
Right.
That's the it. You can't take that back.
Right.
So I wasn't sure what I was going to do. So, it was getting close to Valentine's Day, and my sister looked at me and said, you have to tell them. Just tell them. So I was like, okay, well, I was taking my parents out to dinner that Valentine's Day. So I was like, why not? You know, we're all here, we're all around a table, why not? And, so I told them, and my mom and my dad were really great about it. There was a little bit of a, you know, thing, but it was really great. But I was sure about my parents. I knew my mom and dad wouldn't have a problem with it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There are
you didn't ruin Valentine's Day forever for your parents.
No,
or
I knew that my parents would be okay with it, and I knew that it would be an okay day to tell them. But if you're in a situation where, you know, it's going to be a bad thing to tell somebody, or you're not sure, then it's never a smart idea to do it on a day that could ruin it for you and your family.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, it just, to me, it doesn't make sense to do it on a religious faith-based holiday, because then you have the aspect of religion added into that whole kind of sequence of things, and it just, religion and homosexuality and trans people don't mix very well unless you have gay friendly faith based organizations. So it's just very, very interesting in that area. You need to know your parents. You need to try to know them as best as you can before you come out in general. And I just wouldn't suggest be like, I'm gay and Jesus rose on this day. Yeah.
Happy Easter, I'm gay. It doesn't work.
Yeah, happy Easter, I'm gay. No, maybe Merry Christmas, I'm a lesbian.
No, because we talked about the stress of holidays. anybody was listening on Christmas, we talked about the stress of holidays and coming out. A holiday is never a great day to come out.
Well, I always liked the fact that a woman didn't need a man to produce a child. But that's just my opinion. No, I'm kidding. But it's just, I think, in my opinion, just steer away from the holidays for days to come out. It's just not a... Yeah.
Yeah, don't use me as an example. I'm not a good example.
Yeah, and to me, not on Thanksgiving either, because everybody's there and you're like, might as well. It's called.
There's already enough tension at Thanksgiving.
Yes. Yes, there's already a lot of tension.
So, summer's coming up.
Yes, it is.
I can't believe how fast summer's going to be here.
It's only going to be here 2 months.
Yes, but everybody... See, where I work, we are very holiday-oriented. And when holidays start to come up in the series of events, things change. So we've been talking a lot about summer, and I can't... You know, a lot of the kids are talking about being off from school soon. I just thought the school semester started.
I'm a
little like, didn't it just start?
The older you get, the faster it flies by.
Didn't I just... Oh, my God. So, it's been really interesting. And you know, with summer coming up and everything, we've been talking about a lot of different things about Hatch and different events and stuff we're going to be doing. And it's all about, you know...
It's all about organizing and planning... Especially with the prom coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, that's one of our biggest fundraisers of the entire year.
Do we still do the beach cleanup?
We do it occasionally. We've been talking about it.
That's one of the things we've been planning and thinking about doing this year is the beach cleanup, especially because of what happened with Ike.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think that's a fun day.
Yeah. See, they didn't do it last year when I joined. We didn't have beach cleanup. And
they did it when I joined.
Yeah, they did it when Joshua joined.
They did it the second day I joined.
Oh, dear. Well, yes. The second week I joined, I was moving Hatch.
Yes, it wasn't a good thing.
Why wasn't it a good thing?
Well, it was a good thing that we moved into the new space, which soon will have a couch. Hopefully. Hopefully.
We keep crossing our fingers for a couch.
Well, we've gone back and forth and back and forth. So, and then finally... We've gotten to a standpoint where it's just like, well, you told us to use these people, and...
You can reach the... You can almost touch the couch, but it's still out of distance.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah, but tomorrow they are putting up shelves and everything, so it's going to look a lot nicer.
And the painting I did for Hatch,
yes,
the one that was in Outsmart, is going to be in the room.
Oh, good, good. And I, from what I understand, there's going to be a computer room soon.
That is in the works.
Yes, that is in the works. We got approved.
We got approved,
yes.
We're trying to get a little more activity into the Hatch room.
Right. Well, just kind of in general, how has the transition to the new building been for Hatch?
Well, in the beginning...
From a youth perspective.
In the beginning, it was a little confusing for a lot of the youth to be moving to the new room.
Because they didn't know where the new building was... Yeah, it's just,
and if you've never been there, it's
it is a little confusing because the HISD school, the art school, is right there.
Right.
And you have to go around it.
Yeah,
and a lot of people get lost in that process. But over the last couple of months, we've had a lot of hiccups with the new building, and everybody who was at the prom last year remembers one of the big hiccups.
Oh, Lord mercy.
But we have the AC under control for this year. Remember this.
It will be under 100 degrees, promise.
We have it under control, so you will not be freezing. You will not be hot. You will be in between.
It's under control, but you still wear a spring sweater.
Yes. Yes. Just in case.
Just in case. If everybody remembers last year, don't worry. They've gotten the building was a baby when we got it. It's an older building, but it was new to us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we hadn't worked out all of the kinks of the air conditioning.
But we have
it went out.
It went out.
Yes.
And it was quite warm. last year, but this
quite
year,
warm.
It was blazing hot.
My makeup was melting off my face. My wig was askew, and y'all didn't tell me when I took photos, so I looked crazy. It was a bad prom. It was just,
see, it was my first prom, so I didn't care. Well, but
yeah.
So this year we've got a lot of it under control, and we've got a lot of the hiccups with the room under control. So we're looking forward to having prom. Again, when we first got the building, it was a little confusing for a lot of the kids. A lot of our older kids who used to come a lot.
Yeah.
Didn't really know where they were going, and it took kind of like a commuting system where everyone kind of told each other where they were going or went with them.
Sure.
To kind of get an idea of where the building is. And now we've got a lot of kids coming.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
So we've been really enjoying the, you know, the larger turnouts. Because when I joined, there wasn't a lot of kids going to Hatch. And I regret not being able to go a lot anymore because I work so much. Mm-hmm. But I need the job. So, you know, work, Hatch, work. Unfortunately, work wins. But one of the bigger things that people aren't used to is the fact that the address and everything is on the website now.
Right.
And because of
used to be a big secret.
It was very secretive. Right. Because when I joined Hatch, I had to call as well and find out where I was going.
Right. So worst kept secret in Montrose is where Hatch.
Montrose.
Where Hatch meets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now it's on the.
Now it's on the website.
It's on a placard at MCC, so it's like, oh, we're not a secret at all. It's just very, yeah.
We meet on the same floor as a lot of other great groups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right.
Yep.
Which is great. Yeah, so we've got a lot of the programs going on again, and a lot of our meetings and stuff like that. So we've gotten a really great, you know, kind of stableness going on.
Yes, things are slowly starting to come together.
Yep.
It's very nice.
It is very nice.
And so, I know that we're both planning on going 80s tastic, but what are you going to wear, Brent?
Oh goodness!
Are you gonna be wearing some retro?
I am a child of the 80s. It's true that I was, those were my high school days. Gosh, I don't know. I will have to dig into my closet.
Oh, if you still have 80s clothing, I'm going to cringe.
Be like,
that's what retro shops are for, sweetie.
Right. Sweetie, I have 60s clothing.
I know. But yes. you're Jimmy. I mean,
yeah.
You wore your 70s outfit to last year's prom.
Yes.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Me.
We weren't in, and there was pink.
Why does that not surprise me?
That
I
doesn't
know.
Surprise anybody.
With 70s outfit, he's got the 1970s stop, and the
1970s. Stop. Stop.
Gone to Dickens on the Strand.
Yes, I have gone to Dickens on the Strand.
And you wear period clothing.
I do.
Is there pink?
But I did not wear it. I did not wear it in 1890.
Oh, I was about to say, do you still have your loincloth from? From when the dinosaurs were ruined?
Oh, that's
zero,
pushing
zero,
it.
No, 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 no.
I know you got rid of that ages
yeah, I
ago.
Did.
What will you be wearing, Jimmy?
That's a good question.
How can I top last year's?
I don't know either.
I don't know.
I'm sure you just have to dig in your closet a little.
Mm-hmm. Deeper.
Deeper? It's further back than the 70s?
I'm a child of the 60s.
I know, but I thought it would come forward. Yeah, 60s, 70s,
yeah,
80s, 70s,
70s clothes
child
are...
Child of the 60s?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the same way of what a guy in the 30s using the term boy.
Okay.
Remember, you're older than my daddy.
I was 12 years old in 1960. Are you happy?
Oh, wow, you're 13 years older than my father.
You were a teenager of the 60s.
I'm a teenager of the 60s.
Yes.
Jimmy,
yes.
I didn't think you had a closet anymore. So
how can
it be deep in your closet?
It's a deep pink cavern.
Because only the clothes are in it now.
I thought that was just a hole on the
which saves space.
Only the clothes and the Christmas ornaments, that's it.
Clothes in the Christmas
and room. I have ample supply of both.
Oh no, my family can beat you on the Christmas ornament.
I don't know about that.
How many boxes?
I have 1, 2, 3 walk-in closets.
How many?
They're all full?
Pretty much.
Oh
wow!
Yeah, I can decorate dozens of trees.
Yeah, my family can only do about a dozen. We have an entire storage room full of Christmas.
Well, I know where to go to get my Christmas decorations for my apartment next year.
Oh, absolutely.
We had to go buy a new tree because we ran out of space. Is that how that works? I wasn't sure.
No, it's called you only have one tree.
Some people are doing five.
We originally had one tree, and then it became two trees, and then it became three trees, and now we're at four.
Well, because you have ornaments that you really like, and and you get new ornaments every year. And
if you count all the ornaments on the garland, which surrounds the entire ceiling, I think you could put another two trees up.
Yeah.
Because my family puts up the garland and the lights around the ceilings and everything and outside. Like, and so there's it. If you walk into our tiny apartment during Christmas, it looks like Christmas threw up on the entire apartment.
Well, once Jimmy gets rid of Judy's pussy, he puts the tree back on.
And, There's Christmas drapes on everything. Everything is decorated. And during Easter, normally my family has an Easter tree up as well. We have a tree for every holiday.
Wow.
Yes, I've seen the Easter tree.
We have one for every single holiday of major note in our family.
Wow.
Including Mother's Day and Father's Day.
I've heard of a Halloween tree.
Mother's Day tree?
My mom's tree is all flowers.
Oh. Aww.
We made a lot of them.
What's Father's Day?
Father's Day.
Well, for your dad, it could be
actually, because he's a big baseball fan.
Oh, okay.
I thought so.
He grew up playing.
I thought it was going to be designer furniture or something.
just little sofas.
We just went into his room and pulled out all. He's got 3 or 4 boxes of design magazines in his room.
Yeah.
Oh yes, man.
The man has an obsession with design.
He has more magazines than me
when it comes to design and fashion. Wow. He loves getting the new fashion magazine when it comes out.
We do not know why.
Yeah. But no, we have one for Father's Day and Mother's Day, Easter.
Well, I am really impressed.
New
Father's
Year's.
Day and Mother's Day.
August has its own tree because me and my sister's birthdays are in the same month.
So that's the birthday tree.
It's the birthday tree. My mom's is in July and me and my sister's are both in August.
Mm-hmm.
So between July and August 26th, which is my birthday, we have the birthday tree.
Oh my gosh, do you have pictures of these trees? You should bring them next time.
We do. We have pictures in one of my hard drives somewhere in my room, my house. So, yeah. But it was the first year my mom decided to do this. Like, every time we told somebody we had a tree for every holiday, it was the weirdest thing. And then now, like, 5 or 6 years down the road, you say, hey, we have a tree for every holiday. Nobody's in shock because somebody they know has a tree for every holiday. We're like, we should have made some money on this one somewhere. Why didn't we? Even like St. Patrick's Day, Mardi Gras, anything of note in our family. It's
wow, that's great.
Ooh, I keep hitting the table. I know that makes an echo. Everybody has their own family holiday traditions. And one of the big thing for our family is that. I know our family is kind of in the weirder aspect on that one.
Yes, this is very interesting in that aspect that y'all have all the trees and everything. I don't think I had anything from my. It's just very we didn't have anything along those lines besides the baskets, but yeah, for at least for Easter.
Okay.
All right.
I think we're going to wrap up a little bit and talk a little bit more about our traditions, and then we're going to wrap up.
If we could take a few minute break really fast.
Yes, a few minute break.
Would you like to do that?
Yes,
that would be great.
Okay.
I apologize. I just got off work a little while ago, so I didn't have a lot of time to plan this.
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Behind you.
is Josh Duffy from his last CD called Artificial, called I Will Love You. And we are back with Hatch.
Welcome back. I want to do a little apology really fast. This has not been the greatest show, but it's cool. So, Josh had something we wanted to talk about. What was it?
I thought that we should talk about spring, because we've talked about the holiday and everything. Well, spring's coming, and spring's already here, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
Well, why haven't we talked about flowers and different aspects about that? We've never talked about nature. I thought that we should at least mention the fact, because Easter is a very big time for nature and everything like that.
Okay. spring is a very big part of the year. It's
a lovely time of the year. I think things come a bloom, and it shows that it's, in a way, it's kind of a revival of senses where things become new again.
Right.
Where you see new flowers, you see, and in that way, it's a new, in some way, it's a new way of life, it's a new life to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's a lovely time during the year.
With spring, everybody does, spring cleaning, which spring I have been doing.
Oh, no.
Everybody does their spring cleaning, except for my father. You know, going through, getting rid of the old, bringing in the new, getting your life moving. A lot of people move during this time of year. This is a very big time of the year for weddings and moving, cleaning out your house.
It makes sense because you're not freezing, and it's just the perfect where it's not too hot, not too cold. It's just like you need to get everything out, and most of it's going to be bright and sunny. So that's the perfect time, it seems, because it's just you're moving. In a way, it's kind of forcing everything that's old out,
yeah,
and bringing in the new. Same with the seasons, bringing in the new. And yeah, I know. I myself, when I'm moving into Elizabeth's and I'm bringing my bed and everything like that, I know it's going to be hard for me because I have to spring clean also, and I have boxes upon boxes of things that I've had for years, and I had to pack them up, and I'm like, oh my god, I have to pack them up. That's just a lot to ask for. So it's just very interesting why we do this, because it's just because we're trying to start anew in aspect, in that it's just a time of renewal in that aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the religious holidays tie into that. It's a time of renewal and for things to change. So it's very nice. And I think that we might wrap up a little bit early.
Yes, I think that we should wrap up a little bit early.
Well, let's tell everyone how to contact us.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
We all go for our cell phones.
Yes. If you need to contact Hatch, the number is 713-529-3590. Or you could please contact us at hatchyouth.org. And I will repeat the number one more time, 713-529-3590. And the number for the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard is 713-529-3211. And I'll repeat it one more time, 713-529-3211. If you ever need any information about Hatch or the Montrose Counseling Center, please contact the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard, and they will be sure to help you out. They also help out, they'll also they'll help you to contact other GLBT organizations in the Houston area,
mm-hmm,
and just little things like that. And if you really truly need somebody to talk to, they'll also talk to you just in general. So, mm-hmm. so it's a lovely resource to access, especially in the Houston area.
Yep.
And I think we're going to wrap it up. And I'm Josh.
I'm Elizabeth.
And I'm Brendan.
All right.
Thank you for being here, mm-hmm. and we look forward to you the first Saturday of each month at the beginning of the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've got another piece of music to go to by Houston Bernard, kind of a takeoff called Swallow Your Pride, and we'll be back with the Round Table.
Kiss from a lover who has been my queen. Like everything that falls away, I wanna be that's gonna stay. Too many sparks ain't gonna burn. Won't keep me flying, I'll never learn. Feel my fire, a raging flame. It's all I'm asking. Thread of thunder.
for their beds are frightfully cold. And I slept there in the snow with others, yet loved no others before. These cold, dark
And we're back. That was Katie Ling, I Dream of Spring. And it looks like everybody's here for Roundtable. And on the computers, Chris. I thought we were done with that.
Your cornhole has to be 6 inches in diameter.
What about a cornhole?
Cornhole what?
I thought we were done with that one. Come on, Chris.
Yeah, Chris.
Don't be so obsessed with cornhole, you know?
Cornhole.
Oh, we already did that.
6 inch diameter cornhole on a 24-inch wide base. Wow.
Good lord.
On a, what is that, a 90 degree angle?
Duh.
Once again,
90 degree angle can be convenient for some things.
Yes.
Yes, so make sure your cornhole is on a 90 degree angle and it's 6 inches in diameter.
Or what?
It's not regulation.
And after that, you can put the seal of approval from the American Cornhole Association.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh. And junior contestants can pitch from any place.
So what you got for us for Roundtable this week, Chris?
More cornholing.
Oh, my God. Well, we could go upstairs and do that, but anyway...
No, we can.
If anyone out there just needs a good laugh, go. This will be the last time I talk about this. Go to playcornhole.org.
Oh God!
And the comedy writes itself.
Isn't that most of our roundtable sessions anyway?
Moving on.
Well, we did a 20-minute segment on that at the beginning of the show. Moving on.
Thank God, the first hour of the show now isn't archived. Well, now the reason why we did a discussion of cornhole was because as well known on our show, we get derailed rather quickly. We were talking about Iowa.
Oh, yes.
Or Iowa. Who the Iowa Supreme Court legalized gay marriage in a unanimous and emphatic decision that makes Iowa the third state and the first in the nation's heartland to allow same-sex couples to wed.
Why is it always these places that are just, like, more obscure than other states?
Yeah. I guess Iowa needed some excitement. Obviously.
They got it.
I guess the...
Yeah. Iowa joins...
Acres and acres of...
Yeah.
Nothing.
Corn? Iowa joins only Massachusetts and Connecticut in permitting same-sex marriage. For 6 months last year, California's high court allowed gay marriage before voters banned it in November.
So what happened to Vermont? Is it still legal there or not?
Vermont's same-sex civil unions.
Okay.
Well, now, while they're working on it right now, currently in Vermont, the Senate has approved. I'm not sure if the House has approved
yet. I think it says further
yet.
Down about that. I can't remember. I read it 2 days ago.
And the problem they're running into in Vermont is that the governor has already said that he will veto the bill when it comes to his desk. So they're working on seeing if they're going to have enough votes in both houses in the Vermont legislature to overturn the veto in there. The interesting, let's see, where was the, there's a thing from, one of the, of course you got to love the politicians' responses to these.
Of course.
And Iowa Representative Steve King released a panicked statement following the Iowa Supreme Court's unanimous ruling earlier today, which legalized same-sex marriage in the state. King is panicked that Iowa is going to become the gay marriage mecca.
Oh, please.
Quote, unquote.
Okay, just for the record, last place on the planet.
Really?
I would go to get married. I'd rather go to Canada and get married than go to freaking Iowa. Come on now.
Then go, Jose.
Wrote King. This is an unconstitutional ruling and another example of activist judges molding the Constitution to achieve their personal political ends. Iowa law says that marriage is between one man and one woman and their cow. If judges believe that the Iowa legislature should grant same-sex marriage, they should resign from their positions and run for office, not legislate from the bench.
Oh, good Lord.
Mr. King.
Not legislate from the bench.
If you idiots would follow the part of your Constitution that says all men and women and mankind are created equal, we wouldn't have to have the courts telling you to get your head out of your ass and not have this kind of law put in place in the first place.
Yes. Isn't it interesting how it's they're only activist judges if they're doing something they don't approve of?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, that's not activist judges. They're doing the Lord's work. Now is the Iowa legislature's responsibility to pass the marriage amendment to the Iowa Constitution, clarifying that marriage is between one man and one woman, to give that power the Supreme Court has arrogated to itself back to the people of Iowa. Along with a constitutional amendment, the legislature must also enact marriage license residency requirements so that Iowa does not become a gay marriage mecca due to the Supreme Court's latest experiment in social engineering.
I always thought if it was between one man and one woman, there would only be one married person ever. One man, you know.
Well, usually isn't the one female the one that the name changes and not the male?
Mm-hmm. Once again, remember, people,
one person?
Marriage is not created as a religious practice. It's not created as a showing of love. It's not completely designed to be made to bring children into the world.
It's overrated.
Marriage was originally constructed because women were considered property and couldn't own property. So that a man would have to find a husband for his wife, for his daughters, to pass on his property, his business, and his wife when he died, for someone to take care of her and his daughter because they were property.
You say this was, but it still happens.
Yeah. Marriage is a contract, not a contract with almighty power. It's a business transaction. You get to stroop my daughter, and then you take care of her.
More or less.
And and because you're strooping her, I'm going to give you the house when I die, the farm, the cows, the goats.
And whatever else comes with it.
And if you're willing to stroop her, here's this little, you know, that's what the dowry was, you know.
Yeah.
Was part of that down payment.
I love hearing him say stupid.
And I love that. It was also, you know, it was also part of the, you know, the collateral given to prove that she's
stupid anyway.
You know, that she was still a virgin. You know,
yeah, there was no guarantee.
This is the twist that was part of the contract. You know.
Speaking of which, our virgin isn't here this week. Our
thank God.
Virgin.
You know, that's why another part of the marriage ceremony was the fact that the bloodied bed sheets from the marital bed was given to the father of the bride, so that if later on the husband decides to say, "You gave me a whore for a daughter," he'll pull out the sheets and go, "Look, you popped her. She wasn't a whore." Ladies and gentlemen, this is what marriage is.
Yep. That's right.
It's a place to keep your stuff.
It's overrated.
Certainly a place to put somebody's stuff.
interesting thing is that the judge who wrote the ruling for the Iowa Supreme Court was appointed by a Republican.
Oh, wow. The irony of the whole situation there.
So, I'm waiting for Fred Phelps to say God hates Iowa.
Yeah, I know, right?
He's too busy saying that God hates North Dakota.
I thought it was GodHatesShrimp.com, but anyway.
But I checked out that website because it's every once in a while. Just, you know, if you're feeling too good about what's going on, I like to check in and see what old Fred's up to.
God hates the internet.
Dying of congestive heart failure somewhere.
we would hope so.
If there really is a higher power.
If there is a higher power, it must be really high.
But not the kind of high you're thinking of, I'm sure.
I'm really high. And I want to know what it's smoking, because...
Really?
That is totally
out there.
There's some of the stoof that's been going on lately. Oh,
what's next, Chris?
Pope condoms are selling like hotcakes.
Oh, yes. I saw those on Toll Road.
In France.
Oh, nice headline there.
Jesus effing Christ.
Excuse me?
that's how they headline the article. Pope decries the use of condoms, and the next thing you know, the International Women's Health Coalition says they're selling like hotcakes as a means of protesting the Pope's recent declarations against the effectiveness of condoms. It's a condom with a picture of Pope Benedict XVI and his arms and his...
His arms raised upwards.
As if basically he doesn't have enough wrinkles now.
And it says...
The text above it.
Says, I say no. No. I said no.
I said no.
Me?
So is this where the Star Wars fandom bought like half of them out?
Oh, Pope Palpatine?
Yep, Pope Palpatine the first.
But I mean, it is kind of effective there, because I think just one look at him and you're going south for a week.
Oh, God.
I thought it was a month.
So that's
he had something else in common with Palpatine. Both of them showed up on the scene, and everybody was screwed. It was
Oh Lord!
Don't bring her into this. She has nothing to do with that man.
Oh, talk about the potties.
Yes, let's do that one.
Potties.
Let's talk about
some. Had nothing to do with it.
Let's do consumer product.
Here we go. Consumer product time.
Consumer product time. Coming out of
consumer awareness, please.
Coming out of England, they have now come up with a little product for you to when you have to go on the while out in the car in the traffic, which is
if you're on one of those long trips
here in Texas and Houston, you'll know about this. It's about the size of the palm of your hand that you unfold, and it's a portable potty.
Really?
Yes.
That will hold up to a 24-ounce bottle of soda.
That's it.
Depends.
No, it's not depends. It's a it's a porta potty thing.
Oh, okay.
You unfold this thing.
It's called a road bag.
It's the road bag.
It's
Yeah, they invented it already. It's called trailer bombs.
Yeah.
Trucker bombs.
But no, this one's is more sanitary because you go into it, there's a little gel that solidifies immediately.
Ooh. When it comes into contact,
actually, I think it said it was crystals that turned it into a gel.
Yeah, super absorbent polymer crystals that absorb up to 24 ounces and turn it into a firm gel. Then you just seal the bag up and throw it in the trash can.
Oh, what an idea.
Now, the cutesy part about it is the men's looks basically like a car that you
insert your member into.
You pee into the hood of the truck. So, I mean, it makes me feel so Red Dawn-ish. Where you pee in the radiator.
Ah.
There's a blast from the past.
Ooh, now, for your size queens there, the diameter ring you go through is only 2 1/4 inches in around. They've also come up with a woman's version, which
they call the lady bag.
Oh, God. Which looks like
a fish.
It looks like a Christmas tree upside down.
Ooh.
And the funny thing is that they've got little pictures on it showing you how to use the product on the women's. It's
got
doors. Basically, I guess women don't know how to squat in the woods. The other one looks like a Captain Morgan style pose.
Ow.
And the other one
is a frontal shot.
Yeah.
Oh.
Now, the best thing is both of these products, they tell you, please don't use it while driving. And children should use lady bag or the mail bag under adult supervision. Do not swallow the super absorbent crystals.
Don't swallow?
Yeah.
Oh, the crystals!
And it may be stored indefinitely in a cool, dry place.
And strangely enough, this comes from Köln, Germany.
Cologne.
Cologne? Köln? Cologne? Same difference.
Boy, I don't know if I really want to give the station ID in the middle of these two articles, but... You're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on a listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
I'm still not sold on that last one.
No.
Sorry.
Hold on. I think I may have made a mistake in the middle of that. KPFT Houston.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I think I left out the Houston in the first one, what I said there.
Probably. I don't know. I was too busy.
I was a little worried about that, so I wanted to make sure while we were discussing women's urinal bags.
Yeah, I'm still not sold on it, really.
Huh?
Did I hear someone say Köln, Poland?
No, Köln, Germany. Köln.
Exactly.
I know that Köln is in Germany,
it's
not Köln.
Köln.
That's what I told him.
Köln.
Köln.
K-O-L-N.
K-O-L-N.
Köln. Cologne.
Oh, it's Köln. Never mind.
Because it's got the umlauts above it.
And the other product placement. And I'm going to send them an email and see if we can get on their beta list for this.
Oh, God.
As many of you... This comes from Bacon Salt. As many of you know, we're huge bacon lovers here at J&D's. We now make Bacon Salt. Bacon-A's Bacon Lip Balm.
Oh, my God.
That last one seemed like a stretch at first. But now that bacon has successfully made the jump from food to personal care, we're pushing it even further.
Oh, my God.
With that said, we're happy to introduce our newest product, Bacon Lube.
Oh, my God.
It's not for sale yet, but we're looking for early product testers to put our Everything Should Taste Like Bacon tagline to the test.
Talk about porking, but anyway...
Go ahead and sign me up for that. I'll try it.
The bottle they have here says Bacon Lube. Keep it sizzling.
For delicious personal lubricant.
Okay, if it's burning, you're doing... it wrong, exactly.
You're going too fast.
So from the people who bring you bacon-flavored salt, which is kosher...
Kosher, wow.
Oh, is that...
I don't know. They have the kosher certificate. They said, you know, I actually read the thing about it.
I'm guessing this is entirely artificially flavored because
I'm
no such thing as kosher
pork.
Kosher bacon, unless it's beef, but I mean, seriously.
Well, like I said, they have a thing on there saying, you know, we found four rabbis with enough chutzpah to say kosher and pork and bacon in the same sentence. So, we're...
Chutzpah.
Yeah, we'll send them an email and tell them we would like to discuss their bacon-flavored lubricant.
And bacon-aise?
Bacon-aise.
Yeah, bacon-flavored mayonnaise.
Oh, my God.
What if you're not having a BLT?
Well, okay, this means you can have a BLT without...
I actually had a couple of German people while I was in Germany.
Without
tell me
the B?
Cologne.
Well, the B's in the mayonnaise. Okay. It's an LT.
I think it is, too.
So, let's stay in the cooking theme here.
Cooking theme? What do we got next?
A new cookbook. Oh, come on.
Oh. Do we want to know?
Yeah.
Is there bacon involved?
Is there pork involved?
No.
Come on.
Oh, okay.
Steak?
Small children?
Kittens?
Come on.
Dog? I appreciate you calling in and telling us that.
Firstborn of Republicans?
What?
Come on. It's Natural Harvest is this cookbook.
Natural Harvest.
Oh, here we go. There it is. Natural Harvest, a collection of semen-based recipes.
Oh, wow. Semen-based.
I don't know if this is real or not. But it's because the author's name is Foodie Putenhauer.
Now that's one for the ages.
The description of the book is, semen is not only nutritious, but has a wonderful texture and amazing cooking properties. Like fine wine and cheeses, the taste of semen is complex and dynamic. Semen is inexpensive to produce and is commonly available in many, if not most, homes and restaurants. Despite all of these positive qualities, semen remains neglected.
That one was so tiny last time I went to the buffet.
Remains neglected as a food. This book helps to change that. Once you overcome the initial hesitation, you'll be surprised to learn how wonderful semen is in the kitchen. Semen is an exciting ingredient that can give every dish you make an interesting twist. If you are a passionate cook and not afraid to experiment with new ingredients, you'll love this cookbook.
My God. Wow, and I thought octopus was a stretch.
And now, the funny thing is that I was watching Bizarre Foods with Andrew Zimmern last week or so, and they went to a restaurant in
China, was
Maine.
No,
okay. In Maine, and it was a takeoff on a chowder. And basically what they used was fish reproductive organs as the base for this chowder.
Chowder?
Chowder.
Chowder. I'll take the mayo version.
That's what they were saying. So he was sitting there and his father lives there in Maine. So he took his father to this restaurant and said, I bet you've never had fish sperm soup before. And basically that's what the base of this... I mean, the guy came out and he said, you know, this is our money shot dinner.
How do you collect it?
Well, the fish is dead. They just pull the parts out. Yes. Same way as
Rocky Mountain oysters?
Too much time on my hands.
I mean, how many fish have to die for you to have a bowl of this stuff?
Oh, good Lord.
Well, poor defenseless creature had to die for you to get this coat.
And I want to know how you tell the difference.
Between what?
Between a male and a female fish.
Well, if chances you're eating organs, the female version, you're eating caviar.
Oh, I just started reading the reviews on this cookbook.
Oh, God.
We raised $400 for a church bake sale because people could not get enough of the cream cheese cookies we made. It's babies! Natural Harvest is babies!
It's people! Don't eat it!
How long?
I think we just lost Wes there.
And he's gone.
And he's gone.
Oh my God.
Someone said they felt real spunky after trying some of these recipes.
Oh, here we go. Spunk ice cubes. What a great recipe. I enjoy them in my dirty martinis every evening. Bravo!
Please. I need to hurry up and get this one. I mean, Easter is coming up.
Oh. Yes. Moving on.
Somewhere Fred Phelps is involved.
God. You know, I bet you this. Some of these recipes would be really great after a nice game of cornhole.
Oh!
God. I had to go there.
Yeah, boy.
All right, let's see. What's the next food item we're talking about? From Ohio. And Buckeyes instead of cornholes.
Oh!
Another part of the heartland.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
A Franklin County Sheriff's Deputy accused of tampering with an inmate's food faces criminal charges.
Oh?
Joseph Cantwell is charged with misdemeanor counts of dereliction of duty, disorderly conduct, and health code violations, according to a press release issued. The inmate alleged that Cantwell and another deputy brought him a bologna sandwich to his cell to eat on March 13th. As soon as he finished eating the sandwich, Deputy Cantwell taunted him, took out a cell phone in which he displayed a photo of another inmate in jail with his penis on the bologna sandwich.
Oh!
Cantwell was served with a court summons. The other deputy was not charged. They've been assigned to duties where they have no contact with inmates.
Or their food, hopefully.
Or their food. Keep
It's like, I don't think that was mayonnaise.
It was mayonnaise, all
mayonnaise,
right.
Mayonnaise.
My baloney has a first name. It's Deputy
Dick. Oh, wow.
More food, because, you know, the fat guy's in front of the computer tonight.
Oh, of course.
Despite all the spelling errors in this article there, this kind of falls under the category of profiles in the sanctity of marriage.
Oh, Lord, not again.
Feeding picky eaters can be a pain. Jess asked Lindell Toppin's fiance, whose middle finger was almost chopped off when Toppin allegedly attacked her with a kitchen knife. The reason for the assault, cops say, was a poorly made meatball sandwich.
Oh, good God.
Specifically, the cheese placement was all wrong.
What?
What?
That was the catalyst, said police superintendent. The 44-year-old woman, whom cops did not identify, was preparing dinner last week when Toppin became enraged due to the victim not placing cheese on his hoagie roll correctly.
Oh, good God.
For crying out
loud. According to the arrest affidavit, Toppin grabbed a knife from the other room and slashed her finger, causing a deep laceration. Took 23 stitches.
Ouch.
Instead of chomping on the meatball sub that she'd made, he wrapped his teeth around his girlfriend's left wrist and refused to let go.
So he's a cannibal?
Well,
no, just a moron.
He was being held at the correctional facility waiting for a preliminary hearing. The big cheese at the prison had a word to say about Toppin yesterday. Wait till he gets a load of prison food.
Oh!
I hear they serve great mayonnaise.
Now, there's two parts of the story there's a part of the story you have to understand to make this story make more sense. We're talking about Philadelphia.
Home of the cheesesteak.
Yeah. Thank God this woman was making a cheesesteak, because that could be death. You know, if you're a Geno's guy and one puts the cheese whiz on instead of the provolone, that could cause death. That was just a meatball sub. But, you know, up in the Philly area, they take that kind of stuff seriously. So she's lucky it was just a meatball.
Something terribly unfortunate about that fact.
We're out of food.
We're out of food?
We're out of food stories. Yeah.
Yay.
It is roundtable.
Why do we want to talk about sex?
Why not?
Sex and food? Cucumbers?
Well, I mean, we just finished talking about sex. Everybody gets hungry after sex.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah, but, you know, this is... Okay, I guess it's time for us to go across the pond, because they're always so fun over there.
Scones.
What do they do this time?
A British secondary school has tried out a new style of sex education by letting teenage pupils examine a lineup of naked men.
Wait a second. I thought we were done with food stories. Now we're on to hot dogs?
No, and we're on a Twinkies.
Yeah, this is Twinkies.
The pupils at Hanham High School, aged 14 to 16, watched a screen in the main hall showing a live feed of different men who were being filmed in the school's gymnasium. The youngsters were told to ask which areas of the man's body they wanted to look at, with the idea of showing them that every person's body is different. Then a group of 16 went on to take part in a workshop where the students learned about sexual activity, personal hygiene, and the differences in body appearance with the aid of a dummy male model. Tom Harvey, 16, said, "I learned more from this than my previous sex education classes. It was really interesting, and the way they taught us about everything was practical and made it more understandable. Every student who took part in the lessons had parental permission." Jeff Shepard, 15, said, "My parents really wanted me to do this. It was such a good way of learning, and I think it made the boys realize not to put pressures on girls to have sex and look good." The interactive lesson came to the school as part of Channel 4's The Sex Education Show for an episode that was shown on Tuesday night. During the series, presenter Anna Richardson is accompanied by a team of sexual health experts at secondary schools across the country to give young people the sex education that they're missing. Assistant head teacher Joe Frostwaith said, "I think this has given us a starting point to revamp sex education. The students really benefited from people from outside the school coming in to talk to them about sex. It can be hard for both students and teachers to go from being a teacher, being your math teacher, to being your sex education teacher."
Well, at least it showed you how to multiply, I guess.
Yeah.
For last year's series of the show, players from the Long Ashton Football Club's first team dropped their shorts to bare all for episodes looking at issues such as STIs and fertility. Now, to explain all this, to bring it down into a nutshell.
No, so to speak.
This is a television show on Channel 4 in England. This is one of their major networks. This is the same network that put on Queer as Folk. And they have a show called... was it the Sex Education Show? The Sex Education Show. Which features full nudity.
Really?
Where, as in this instance where they said, you know, you saw these group of guys drop their pants. They show on this in this television show people getting exams. You know, what they're not just going to say, you know, here's how you do a testicular cancer exam. They show you how to grab your nuts.
Well,
they move stuff around and you see where it is and what's wrong. Yeah. And this is a television show on broadcast TV.
Yeah.
Over there. This is how they teach people sex education over there. Where we here in the United States say, no, 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 no.
Sex is bad, okay?
Sex bad, beer good.
and this is why, you know, and the way we tell people is, you know, don't do sex, don't do sex, don't do sex, don't have a condom, don't know what you're doing. And that's how governor's daughters gets knocked up.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes.
You can show someone getting eviscerated on TV, but you cannot show someone's penis.
Even on Showtime, because they made a comment about that. Well, that's my drink, not yours. they made a comment about that on Penn and Teller's BS when they were doing a show about pornography.
Mm-hmm.
And they could sit there and show the woman completely nude and everything, but when it came to a point of where a guy may have a hard on,
no,
it went Japanese on me, all blurry in front of it.
What's wrong with us?
I thought it became animated.
What the hell are we waiting for?
I mean, you know, occasionally, you know, I mean, you may see a feature film, rarely. Where you'll see erect male on there.
Very rarely.
Lie with Me with Eric Balfour.
Yeah.
That was a movie made for DVR.
Oh, my God. They killed Kenny.
No. It's a nice piece.
That guy is huge.
It's a nice piece.
Like I said, they killed Kenny.
I'd be 6 feet under with him. But that, I mean, like Jimmy said, you know, you and it's one of the things that gets really strange when you see, like with movies. You know, you can have the most violent movie out there, yeah, and it can end up with a PG-13.
Yeah, I've seen that a few times.
But you get a movie that, you know, mentions a gay character, R rating.
Right. Go figure.
You know, or
a limp dick R rating.
Even if you see that, I mean, that's,
yeah, which
that's
is
where the price of what, right, what did, there.
I mean, look at the big,
a 50-foot-tall blue man.
I was about to say how much controversy came up with that with the movie Watchmen about the big blue penis.
Yeah,
and everyone got crazy.
That was
about
one
that.
Of the best parts of that.
Oh
movie.
Yeah,
yes.
His but, part was the best part of that
yes,
movie.
Yes, his piece was the best piece of the movie.
Yes.
But that, I mean, that's unfortunately a different standard that we have. And, you know, it's one of the weird things with my father is always, was when he was younger, was very liberal. And I've always made the joke that his liberalism fell out with his hair. And right now he's very conservative on a lot of issues.
Bald, huh?
Almost. But he... one of the things we had in my family when we were growing up is my dad always said if we had to, if we were forced to watch one of two movies, it was either a kung fu movie or a porno, he'd rather us kids watch the porno. Because it was a lot better seeing sex than seeing them, you know, drop kick a nun's head down a flight of marble stairs.
Yeah.
Well, there's a little more basis in reality.
Well, true.
That and, depends on where you live.
And yeah, that's
depends
the
on the
true
movie yeah. too. But anyway,
and that's kind of a sad commentary we have is that they can have a sex education show like this in England. You know, there's
and the rest of Europe.
And in the rest of Europe, I mean, I go to one website. It's a blog called Casper Fan. On there, it's someone who, it was someone who's enthralled with Casper Van Dien.
Oh.
And he goes through a lot of these, I guess he's over in England, or at least in Europe, and he puts on these, takes still pictures from all these different television shows from over there that show rear nudity, full frontal nudity, sex acts. I mean, you're seeing the bare ass because he's on top of the woman.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them actually have gay scenes. And it's like, this is on television over there?
Yeah, well, I forget what channel I saw it on, but it was actually on one of the cable channels a few years back. I saw where they actually talked about TV over in Europe. And during prime time over there, which... We consider prime time like 7 to whatever.
7 to 10 here locally.
Yeah. They actually have full frontal nudity shows. In fact, they talked about one show. It was a talk show. Was done totally in the nude.
Yeah.
And you saw everything. You saw men and women completely as nude as the day as they were born.
Without that ooze.
And, yeah, that too. And, you know, while I was over there, because I went over to Europe a couple times. They weren't kidding.
Yeah, or like, you know, I've talked about this show a couple of times on the BBC America called Skins. It's a British show. I'm not sure if it's on 4 or ITN over there. But the first episode I saw of it was a character who's supposed to be who's playing a 17-year-old. He was probably 20 at the time. He made that scene. You know, with morning wood, walking into the bathroom, and later you see his bare butt, and you know they're teasing about the fact that he's got such hard morning wood. He's going to take, he's leaking in his face, and he's having to go stand in the shower to do that. And it was given a TVMA rating, and you could see it here in the afternoon on a Saturday.
Wow!
Wow!
Maybe that digital cable.
And, you know, and one of the things you want to watch about that one is the kid, the star of Slumdog Millionaire is in that show and has a butt shot in there. But, you know, that's kind of sad that we've got this culture. Because it's actually something they were talking about here on the LSA Yahoo group. about how this abstinence policy we have in Texas, one of the legacies from Shrub, of, you know, no, don't have sex. And if you tell them that enough, I think it'll sink in. But talk to Bristol Palin about that.
Yeah.
and her cute baby daddy. And let's see our last story from over across the pond. Strangely enough, we get a lot of stories about these kind of things from over in Europe. I guess, you know, maybe that's the thing. Maybe that's the takeoff we have to have. Because of them having such an open sexual policy on the air there, that you get people like this...
Oh, my.
Sex-starved woman had to undergo a painful two-hour operation to remove...
A giant...
pine cone.
Ouch. That's going to leave a mark.
Surgeons have revealed embarrassing spinster Marjana Jarovic is recovering after getting steamy with the seedy item in the Serbian capital of Belgrade.
Oh, my God.
Dr. Sava Bovjek explained, she was lonely and she took a pine cone from a tree and unfortunately she got it stuck and needed surgery to get it out.
Ow.
By all accounts, she did have a tremendous time with it, though.
Tremendous?
Yeah.
Tremendous. Tremendous.
I didn't write that line.
Nope. It's actually written exactly like that on there.
That.
Hyphenated, even.
Oh, good Lord.
So let's see. The have your say on here was, someone asked, was it removed by a tree surgeon?
Who would have thought?
Let's see.
Talk about pine nuts.
Yes, after removing the pine cone, she was so ashamed. She put where did it go?
I gotta. She put her head up her posterior and is currently on the waiting list to have that removed now. This is taking tree hugger to all new depths.
Yes.
She was barking up the wrong tree.
She was pining for a man.
Yes, obviously.
Silly serves, one lesson to be learnt. Always use lubricant. Bacon flavored lubricant.
Gotta love the rampant rabbits.
Let's see. When asked about sex, when she asked about sex rated with pine cone, she replied, fur. Conely, I'm so conely and no one to call my own.
Lord.
Ew, my.
Okay.
You gotta love those Europeans.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. If you got a piece of music queued up, we'll take a little break.
No, Jimmy.
Well, why'd you take all the music up?
Oh, my God.
He wasn't expecting, to take a break.
This.
Just hand me one at random.
Oh, that could be lovely.
Woohoo!
Just reach in, grab, and stick it in.
12? 12? 12 inches? Or, track 12, never mind.
Okay.
So what we're going to do is we're going to take a little break and come back here with a story of a little poll they did over at AfterElton.com. Top 25 favorite gay reality stars.
Oh, God.
And one I'm surprised who's not on there. But really? Then again, he never claimed he was gay, just gay for pay. So let's do a little.
Boy
speaking
George.
Speaking of those twisted British people, Boy George.
So here we go.
Hi George, it's David. I've got the trousers for you. You've left the studio, and you're not at the Savoy.
Hi, if you're around, George, it's Bill. I'm just to say that the.
Boy, I know your secrets, though you brag and swagger and you lay the women down. You're the same tough guy that cried in my arms and kissed me when the lights went down. I hear you married some Danish girl. I'm so glad that it wasn't me. You're like so many of those boys I've known. You break your promise easily. Unfinished business. Fox in the headlights. Tears for what might have been. unfinished business. Crawling out of the woodwork, you know how to ruin a good dream. See your life reflected in mine, painted eyes. These memories are hard to shake. I press my lips against your trembling flesh and waited for your back to break. You liar, you coward, you sleeping fool. Hey, don't you know that secrets kill? Heaven and hell are right here on earth, decided by your own free will. Unfinished business, fox in the headlights, tears for what might have been. Unfinished business, crawling out of the woodwork, I know how to ruin a good dream. I go tell your friends that I'm mad in my head, that I don't know what I mean. And you love like Mary, and you're more than a bit of a queen. Unfinished business, yeah, you know exactly what I
out on light shines on the water. The golden ripples flicker gently, calling out to sea. For now I hang with miracles, so I walk out on the waves. By the moonless night, my candle lights your way back home to me. A boy can dream. Yes, a boy can dream. A boy can dream. A boy can dream. Yes, a boy can dream. A boy can
And that was Naked doing A Boy Can Dream. And before that, a little boy, George. What are you doing?
Just watching that swing under the counter.
Will you quit playing with things?
What do you got?
What's next?
I need a soda. Hold on. I have to say soda. It's a joke. One of my coworkers, she says, soda.
Saudi.
Like
Saudi water?
Soda.
What is she from up north?
Yeah, and a couple decades behind.
Isn't that most of Tomball?
Well, she's my coworker who can't handle working around homosexuals.
But she puts up
with you, though.
Nobody knows at my work.
You haven't figured it out by now?
Unlike where I work at, everybody knows.
Have they met you?
I don't know what it's going to take.
Maybe seriously. You should show up in a habit one day.
I've shown them a picture of me in a habit.
They still haven't gotten it.
I showed them a picture of me in the nun's habit, and not a clue.
Well, what you should do is do like what I did. Let everybody know. Show up at the company Christmas party with a date.
Oh, I avoided the Christmas party. Can't stand being around these people when they're paying me. I'm not going to show up there when they're not going to pay me.
Well, the nice thing about our Christmas party, they give away tons of really nice gifts.
Mm.
Like flat screen TVs and DVD players and camping equipment.
Yeah, but the place where you work, they actually make money.
What's your point?
Exactly.
See, I have a feeling.
At least at this end of the economy, they.
I have a feeling if I went to the company party, it'd be like made for TV products. Win one. I'm like, no. I think I'll pass.
So, but yeah, that's what I did. The very first Christmas party that they had while I was working there.
Things
I took
by
my current
Ronco.
Boyfriend with me.
Yeah.
Or my then current boyfriend, should I say?
All right. Over at After Elton, which is the gay men's blog port of Logo Online, after Ellen is the woman's side. They did a thing of the top 15 favorite gay reality stars.
With Gay Aiken on there?
Yeah, he's a little down on the list.
Number one?
Number one is Danny Roberts, who was on Real World New Orleans back in 2000. He was the one who was dating the guy in the military.
I think I remember something about that.
And so they had to blur out
him out all the time.
That after leaving the military, the boyfriend made an appearance on one of those reunion show things. On that, they unfortunately have split up since then.
Oh, well, it happens.
Now, here's a nice part about it, is someone who credits Danny for being a way of coming for a reason to come out. Neil Patrick Harris said, "The first face that empowered me was Danny Roberts from the Real World New Orleans. I think before him, I'd never seen anybody wear homosexuality so comfortably. He was around my age, and I could look to him as a role model, if you could say that, even though he was on a reality show. He represented a way that I could behave and stand tall comfortably without being an overt advocate, without being someone hiding in the shadows. Kind of a good phrase there for...
Yeah, well, I'll go with that. Number two.
Number two is one that some people thought should have been number one, and is the star of a very recent movie that just came out. Pedro Zamora from The Real World San Francisco, 1994.
I remember that.
It was 1994. The AIDS epidemic still ravaged the gay community in America and Europe while fueling homophobia across the world. Then this 22-year-old Cuban-American put a face to the disease as he spoke out eloquently about being a gay man living with HIV. Just recently, MTV did a movie honoring him that was written by Dustin Lance Black, which is the guy who did the movie Milk. And when it premiered on April 1st, it actually premiered on both MTV and Logo simultaneously.
Hmm. Oh, wow.
Number three, Ronnie Kroll from Make Me a Supermodel 2008.
It's actually kind of a boring show.
Yeah, it is. It's annoying.
What station is that on?
It's on Bravo. Bravo.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Yeah, you've lost me. I don't watch reality shows very much.
It's kind of.
Number four.
Christian Siriano on Project Runway.
Oh, yeah. I remember him.
Gay geeky.
Very geeky. Oh, hello. Jeez.
Looks kind of like a turtle that was pulled out of a shell. Somebody slapped on Buddy Holly glasses on him.
Yes, I think I remember him now.
Yeah, does that description remind you of him?
Number five.
J.P. Calderon from Survivor Cook Islands and the Janice Dickinson Modeling Agency.
Wow, two reality shows.
Yeah.
Someone's an attention whore.
Number six.
Charlie Herschel from Survivor Gabon.
Yeah.
He's
kind of
cute.
So where is Richard Hatch on that list?
He's coming up.
Give us time. Number seven.
He's also starring in, I Was a Prison Bitch.
Number seven and number eight.
Or Aishin Lumukul. It would have been so much easier if it was married Lance, and we could just say Aishin Bass. And Chip Arnott from The Amazing Race 2003.
Number nine.
Dun, dun, dun. That's more of him. Todd Herzog from Survivor China.
I didn't see that one. So yeah, hello.
He, 14 seasons after Richard Hatch became the first gay man to win Survivor, 22-year-old Todd Herzog finally followed in his gay footsteps by getting the $1 million prize on Survivor China.
Cool.
Yeah, former flight attendant.
Go figure.
Way to break those stereotypes.
Number 10.
Daniel Vasovic on Project Runway, 2006.
Number 11.
Gay Aiken from American Idol Season 2 is number 11.
Number 12.
Yeah, it's like, we recently did a poll of favorite gay reality stars. And I came in, what? You ranked very high. What's that mean? 15? 17 out of 400? Higher than that. Well, that's good. Do you have any words for your fans who voted for you? Well, thank you for spamming the website, those of you who voted.
Jeez.
Someone's a little come
full of himself.
Full of himself.
Yeah. Number 12.
Davis Mallory on Real World Denver. He got on there because he is a homosexual just coming out of the closet still and coming from a conservative Christian background in the South.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Number 13.
Richard Hatch.
Yeah.
The godfather of gay reality contestants.
And the only one to do it all in the nude.
Eek.
For you bear lovers out there.
Eek.
Number 14.
Dale Levitsky from Top Chef Chicago.
Okay.
Look at that. His hair is styled in a way so you understand what a flage should look like.
Mm-hmm. And number 15.
Marcellus Reynolds on Big Brother. Now, the thing I missed that I was surprised to hear was not the the, I forget what his name is, they're from Big Brother, who they discovered he had done porn, gay porn. He had the pink mohawk and all the tattoos. And I forget what his name is now. But
I'm sure you can find it online.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to find it if I spend the time if you're looking on that. But it's, you know, but then again, he wasn't, you know, I don't know how they really qualify these things, because if they're going to consider it a gay reality star, you know, Clay Aiken wasn't out when he was on the show.
No.
You know, there was a lot of accusations. You know, if you're going to go with American Idol, then you got Jim Varavos, who actually was out during the show.
Yeah.
That and they had to remove. He had to remove some of that gay storyline from his web, from his profile on there, because they couldn't have that sort of thing on there. Try to find it, see, get some more news. Where's the news section on here?
Over there somewhere.
Ooh.
Oh, is that the new one?
Yeah, I got pictures of the new Kirk.
Kirk is bisexual.
Who? What?
Yeah, he kisses Spock in the upcoming Star Trek movie.
What?
Wait, are you serious?
That's what it says.
Bye-bye. Wow. There was the same glasses they took the turtle off, and they stole his glasses.
There you go.
In the new Star Trek prequel movie due out in May, James Tiberius Kirk, the future commander of the USS Enterprise, is bisexual and in love with Spock. And hints that Spock may have loved him back. Oh, we need Spock's sodomy party for this one.
Oh, yeah.
In one scene, Kirk shares a bed with Spock and kisses him on the lips, although the Vulcan does not seem to reciprocate.
Well, Vulcans generally don't have
feelings.
Vulcans have emotions, they just don't show them.
Yeah, I have a friend who I think is a Vulcan Klingon hybrid myself.
There's a frightening combination.
In another scene, Kirk appears to post half-naked holo images of himself on an internet-like dating service.
Oh my god.
And his online profile clearly indicates he's looking for females, males, and other.
Well, yeah.
It just made sense, director J.J. Abrams said in an exclusive interview with After Elton. In the original series, Kirk's character slept with green-skinned aliens, and in one place, a creeping mist. Sleeping with men doesn't seem to be really that big of a leap. Surprisingly, Kirk's newfound bisexuality comes with the full support of the previous Kirk, William Shatner.
Yeah, of course.
Are you kidding? Who do you think has been writing all that slash fiction? Half of it was me. The other half was Leonard. That wasn't very good.
I still like the roast they did.
Star Trek, the new movie, has always intended to be about Kirk and Spock and their relationship. There's just another element to that relationship. It's more than a bromance. Whether it's a full-fledged romance depends on how you interpret the scene where they share a bed. When we were writing the skit, we referred to it as a blowmance. The character of Dr. McCoy, meanwhile, is openly gay and in love with Kirk. Carl Urban plays the gay, love-smitten Dr. Richard Bones McCoy.
So that's how he got his name.
Got a boner for the captain.
Oh, of course.
I didn't hear about this stuff before, Tara.
It's like they got the internet to do the script for this movie.
Yeah, here's a picture of them kissing.
Oh, how interesting.
In a scene where the younger Kirk kisses
Spock. Looks like he's in just a pair of boxers.
The emotionless Vulcan doesn't seem to understand the overture, but in a bookend scene with future Spock, played by Leonard Nimoy, the character is seen with his face pressed to the seat of the captain's chair and stroking Kirk's communicator badge with his cheek, suggesting he regrets never responding to the affections of Kirk, who is then dead. Ironically, Sulu, the character originally played out by out character George Takei, is now something called a rundamentalist Blisten, who quotes something what he calls the bully hibble, and disapproves of Kirk's polyamorous ways. So the character played by a gay character is a Bible thumper. the hell's Jar Jar Binks doing in there?
Oh, I was wondering the same thing. You know, the surprising move, the movie includes the character of Jar Jar Binks, the universally hated alien, from a competing science fiction franchise, Star Wars.
Oh, God. As long as Jar Jar gets blown to bits in the movie, I don't
How
care.
In the hell did they manage to work that in?
Please tell me everything you're reading comes from a Slash zine. And
no, this is all from After Elton. Here's a picture of the Star Trek crew with Jar Jar Binks.
Oh, God.
I told you we questioned everything, Abrams said, and one of the questions we asked ourselves is, if we wanted to include in our crew the most reviled science fiction character of all time, who would it be?
Of all time?
Well, that rates up there, but...
What is the name of the doctor that was not Crusher on Star Trek?
Pulaski.
Ah, yes. There you go.
Played by Diana Muldaur, who also played in an original series episode called Is There in Truth No Beauty?
Okay, that's
I know way too much about this.
That's way too geeky.
She played a
our resident Star Trek geek.
Well, she played a blind.
He's not the only one.
She played a blind scientist.
What was her alignment?
Neutral good.
Hey, I'll be honest with you. The only reason I ever got in any part of the Star Trek thing was Wesley Crusher.
Yeah.
That was a horn.
Well,
yep.
I liked it better when his character in Stand By Me was getting his crotch eaten away by leeches. But anyway,
Maybe want to be like a better one is watching him in Will Wheaton in Toy Soldiers when he runs around in his underwear.
Yeah,
as an adult. Here's another little thing to kill a little bit of time left here. Seven gay shows, TV shows overdue for a DVD release. Now I remember this one. Brothers from Showtime.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I was expecting that one to come on Logo.
Circa 1984.
I mean, this one
Yes, I remember it well.
Controversial at that time.
Very.
But by today's standards would be so tame. I mean, this show makes Will and Grace look controversial.
Yeah.
Story of a gay man with his brother, an ex-football player, a kicker for the Philadelphia, and his older brother who was a...
flaming faggot!
His other brother wasn't a flaming faggot. It was his friend who was the flaming faggot.
Oh.
Philip Charles McKenzie. Now, the oldest brother was in construction, I think.
Yeah.
The Tracy Ullman Show.
Circa 87.
On Fox.
The only thing, one of the few things I remember about Brothers was the bar.
Yeah,
the Velvet Spike.
Oh, that's right. The gay bar was called the Velvet Spike. Pasadena from Fox, early 2000.
Huh?
I think I remember that show too.
2001, actually.
2001.
I don't even remember that one.
It's All Relative. I remember that one
vaguely.
Circa 2003.
Yeah, that was. One, I don't think it lasted a whole season.
I was going to say, I don't even remember that one.
Lace, 1984.
Don't remember that one.
But that's just where some of these things came from. The Life and Loves of a She-Devil.
BBC, 1986.
Okay.
Yeah, that one brief one that... Fred Savage, where he played a gay character, would be a nice one to come to fruition. That was a recent one. Even that, just I'd like to see him go back and pull out the what got me hooked on One Life to Live back when Ryan Phillippe was playing a gay teen on that. You know, show some of where we came from on that. Because that's back when he was actually a teenager, and he's what...
What was that show that Chris
Stewart's
brother came out or something?
What?
There was a show in the 70s or 80s with Christy McNichol where the brother, one of the characters, came out on the show. I can't remember the name of the show now.
I don't remember that.
So?
Y'all are all
no,
old
that was.
So, I mean, Soap's the one that's out on...
Yeah,
on,
Soap is out, but...
And sadly, they're not really... You know, Soap, unfortunately, was not a good gay look at gay life.
No, it wasn't.
On really. There. I mean, that showed more of the...
Stereotypes.
You know, the homosexual character, you know, wanted to get a sex change so that he could actually be with his boyfriend, and then became bisexual, and then became straight by the end of the series. And yet no comment about the guy playing with the doll.
Yeah.
But,
Oh, I remember that. The ventriloquist.
Someone's phone's too close to the mic.
Yeah. Or it's their computer.
There is no computer.
What is this computer you speak of?
All right, well, we're getting up close here to the end of the show. I could be real rude and make a comment about being at, you know, it's now Palm Sunday.
Oh, yeah, but for most people around here, or some people around here, it's always Palm Sunday.
Every Sunday is a Palm Sunday for them.
And they all look at me.
I thought for Jimmy it was Oral Sunday, but anyway.
He must like that show on Cartoon Network called Oral Moral.
Moral Oral.
Moral. Yeah.
I have my DVR set to record every time that show comes on.
Do you now?
It's a weird little
It really is.
It really is. It's trippy.
I'm like, I want to know what kind of drugs they were doing when they came up with that one.
And why aren't they sharing?
You ought to see the guys who... They did. They showed it to a couple the guys who were the creators of that.
Yeah.
And they look like they are on a set of drugs. more, it's like a little claymation show.
Yeah.
Think of it in the vein of Davy and Goliath.
Yeah.
And basically it's a kid who's trying to be very moral and a good Christian boy and his very strange family, his father, who by the end of the series is at least bisexual.
Yeah.
There, who's has an affair with the coach.
Oh,
I remember that.
Oh, look at the time.
So.
How time flies when we're having fun.
And why does this day seem to go by fast? You've been listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on KPFT Houston. Coming up at the top of the hour is Idaho Pasale.
Woo!
Good night, kids.
Good
we'll
night.
Be back next week.
Later.
Sometime between midnight and one, hope somewhat. Possibly. What?
Oh, he needs back in.
I know. It's just the I guess when you killed their mics, all the background noise in there stopped. And I was like, what the?
No, right?
If you can get in touch with us there, you can send us email at afterhours at kpft.org. We also take snail mail, After Hours, care of KPFT, 419 Lovett Boulevard. Lovett Boulevard.
Not just a zip
code. No. Lovett Boulevard.
Oh, Love TT. Sorry. Missed my cue.
Once, I think I said this last week. This is why we don't let Grandpa play with the buttons. Houston, Texas, 77006.
Not just a zip code, but a life.
We love hearing from you. Storylines, news stories, love mail, hate mail.
Dirty pictures!
And please, out there, don't be a mail tease. Send us when you say you're going to. I had two people.
Yes.
One was mean, one was nice.
Oh.
And they didn't mail
didn't
us?
Didn't get anything.
Oh.
That's a shame.
So, after hours at kpft.org or care at the station. We'll be back again next week. Leather Ties will be here. Hopefully we'll be here.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll do more research on cornholing.
I can hardly wait.
I bet you can.
We'll spend all week doing that. This is After Hours. Now it's time for your PSAs.
Mark your calendar for the Houston International Festival, coming your way April 18th, 19th, 25th, and 26th. The 2009 festival will showcase Ireland and will feature performances by Los Lobos, Mavis Staples, Hugh Masekela, Ohio Players, Marsha Ball, Flaco Jimenez, Cherish the Ladies, and many, many more. Want more details? Go to ifest.org to see the complete schedule and purchase tickets. You can also sign up to volunteer for this fun-filled event at ifest.org. Don't miss the Houston International Festival April 18th, 19th, 25th, and 26th. Go to ifest.org and get your tickets today. This is KPFT Houston.
Tell it on the mountain. Go talk it to the seashore. Whisper it in the breeze. Say it wherever you please. But it's a secret that needs to get out. So tell a friend that you heard it on KPFT. It's a secret that should be shouted out. From the highest overpass to the bends in the bayou, you heard it on KPFT. If it's worth hearing, if it's worth discussing, KPFT gets the word out. So tell a friend to turn on, tune in, and listen to radio for your mind. Call 713-526-5738 to sign up a friend today. Thank you for supporting KPFT Houston, listener-sponsored radio for peace. The following program may contain language or imagery that may be offensive to some listeners. Discretion is advised. The Federal Communications Commission permits the broadcast of some profanity during hours deemed to be safe harbor when children are less likely to be listening. KPFT upholds a stricter policy permitting the broadcast of sensitive material only between the hours of midnight and 5 a.m. The FCC forbids the broadcast of some sexual discussions or other suggestive matters regardless of the hour. If you have any questions or concerns, please call the program director during business hours at 713-526-4000. This is KPFT Houston.
Don't touch that radio dial. Stay tuned to the Zydeco Posse Show right here on KPFT Houston, 89.5 in Galveston.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.